Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. Find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. Last week we were in chapter 13, I think, of Matthew. Yeah, pretty sure 13. So we're going to be looking at chapter 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 14, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 14. At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came, and took up the body, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole.
Okay, tonight we're going to look at slavery in America. Let me first close some things down here. Anyway, we'll look at slavery in America. It's about 27 minutes long. I know we did, in the past, I believe we did Jefferson and slavery, and we did include him into this particular PowerPoint, but looking at slavery in America with our founding fathers is going to be the focus tonight. This is video number 3 in our
series.
Is that
coming through there, Terry?
And this one is on real American history.
Yes, you are. I can hear
it. Founding fathers
but
and slavery in America.
Yes, I see it.
Okay, thank you. Thomas Jefferson said, "An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Therefore, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty." National Liberty Alliance provides the only peaceful and lawful solution to save our republic, and it will require a grassroots commitment of about 30,000 people to take it back. Thomas Jefferson told us, "We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate." The United States of America was built upon liberty for all. For centuries, slavery had been a growing part of the economy worldwide. In North America, slavery was established somewhere in the 1500s. Our founding fathers, prior to the creation of the United States of America, were born and lived under British rule, which promoted slavery in the colonies at the time of the Revolution. In 1729, Benjamin Franklin became the owner and publisher of a colonial newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, and through public discourse initiated by Benjamin Franklin, motivated the national narrative concerning the abuse of King George of Britain. Originally, the dialogue was to expose and repair the problems of the colonial relationship with Britain, which eventually turned into the Declaration of Independence from Britain. Amongst the discussions for the creation of this new nation, the United States of America, was the issue to end slavery, led by Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence, which declared, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Jefferson thereby changed the national narrative to enlightenment and a government by consent of the people, and that all men are created equal. This discourse led to self-examination of themselves in their pursuit of their own liberty from their abusive king, which led our founding fathers to the conclusion that the norm of slavery that they were born under was evil. As chairman of the committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote a paragraph condemning slavery in his first draft of the Declaration. He included this paragraph in his list of complaints against King George III. Before the final version of the Declaration was adopted, the following paragraph was deleted because many believed it was too early to take such a bold stand and would threaten the union of the colonies. Jefferson had written, "He, King George III, has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life, liberty, in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating, carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, the infamy of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to forbid or to restrain this extricable commerce." Jefferson went on to call the institution of slavery an abominable commerce and an assemblage of horrors. He then criticized the Crown for exciting those very people to rise in arms amongst us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people on whom he also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with the crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. Like many of his contemporaries in Virginia, Jefferson held benevolent views of his slaves, feeling responsible for their welfare while doubting their ability to succeed in a free white world. Jefferson had strong scruples against selling slaves, saying, "While freeing persons whose habits have been formed in slavery is like abandoning children, my opinion has ever been that until more can be done for them, we should endeavor, with those whom fortune has thrown on our hands, to feed and clothe them well, protect them from ill usage, require such reasonable labor only as is performed voluntarily by freemen, and be led by no repugnancies to abdicate them and our duties to them. Nothing would induce me to put my Negroes out of my protection." Jefferson's character had to be destroyed in order for the New World Order that was already entrenched in the creation of our government as early as 1776 to take a foothold. By 1792, Hamilton, who had already had strong ties to the foreign bankers, was already advocating for a national bank, at which time Jefferson saw Hamilton as a threat to liberty. Jefferson knew that a central bank would destroy America. Jefferson knew the diabolical plan to destroy a republic when he said, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issues of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around these banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on a continent their fathers conquered." The first act of Jefferson's political career was to attempt to make it legal for slave owners in Virginia to emancipate their slaves. That bill was rejected, as was the condemnation of slavery in his original draft of the Declaration of Independence. His labor in this cause finally met with some success in 1778, when he introduced a bill in the Virginia House of Delegates to prevent the further importation of slaves into the state. The proposal was approved, but he recognized that it was only stopped the increase of the evil by importation, leaving to future efforts its final eradication. It was Jefferson's desire to open the way for his final eradication. The very next year, when his committee submitted their proposal for the revision of Virginia's legal code, However, he ascertained through conversations with his colleagues that the legislator was not yet prepared to consider such a progressive step, so he calculated another strategy. The bill on the subject of slaves was a mere digest of the existing laws respecting them. Without any intimidation of the plan for the future and general emancipation, it was thought better that this should be kept back and attempted only by way of amendment whenever of the bill should be brought on. But when the bill did come up for debate, Jefferson was unable to get his amendment passed, after which he wrote, "It was found that the public mind would not yet bear the proposition, yet the day is not distant when it must bear and adopt it, or worse will follow. Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free." Jefferson would be heard from again on the issue of slavery. The vast area between the Appalachians and the Mississippi had long been claimed by several of the original states, but the recent cession of these claims placed the area under the control of Congress. In early 1784, Jefferson was appointed chairman of the committee to settle the many land disputes which had risen and to prepare a plan for the government of this western region. Jefferson himself drafted the report known to history as the Ordinance of 1784. According to one scholar, the plan ranks second in importance only to the Declaration of Independence among Jefferson's state papers. This document, which reprinted together with preliminary drafts, became the basis for the famous Northwest Ordinance of 1787. It provided for the creation of self-governing territories that would eventually be admitted to the Union on terms of full equality with the original states. It was a bold and brilliant concept, one that would ultimately have a tremendous influence on the westward expansion of the United States. But Congress rejected a very significant element in Jefferson's report on the Western Territories. He had included in his bill a clause barring slavery in any of these territories after the year 1800, a measure which might have averted the Civil War, but this proposal was defeated by one vote, as Jefferson lamented. The voice of a single individual would have prevented this abominable crime from spreading itself over the new country. Thus we see the fate of millions unborn hanging on the tongue of one man, and heaven was silenced in that awful moment. But it is to be hoped it will not always be silent, and that the friends to the rights of human nature will in the end prevail. In 1782, Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune, an exchange of situation is among possible events, and that it may become probable by supernatural interference the Almighty has no attributes which can take sides with us in such a contest." Jefferson worried about what might have to take place before this victory for the rights of human nature could be secured. Jefferson had actually advocated this idea 8 years earlier. He proposed the New Virginia Constitution containing a provision that any future colonies established from Virginia Western Domain would be free and independent of this colony and of all the world. Always an optimist, in the end, however, Jefferson noted the next year that the cause of emancipation was gaining daily recruits from the influx into the office of young men grown and growing up. These have sucked in the principles of liberty, as it were, with their mother's milk, and it is to them I look with anxiety to turn the fate of this question. The Democratic-Republican Party, better known at the time as the Republican Party, and various other names, was an American political party founded by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison in the early 1790s that championed republicanism, which is rule by law and not men. Jefferson began his presidency with a plea for reconciliation, stating, "We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists." He had no plans for a permanent two-party system of government. He also began with a strong commitment to limit government and strict construction of the Constitution. All these commitments were soon to be tested by the exigencies of war, diplomacy, and political contingency. It is important to take into account that slavery was a norm of the 18th century. Like many citizens of his time, Benjamin Franklin owned slaves from as early as 1735 until 1781, and viewed them as inferior to white Europeans, as it was believed they could not be educated. After 1758, Franklin gradually changed his mind when his friend Samuel Johnson brought him to one of Dr. Bray's schools for black children. Dr. Bray's Associates was a philanthropic association affiliated to the Church of England. In 1759, Franklin met with Anthony Benezet, who started a school in Philadelphia and who later co-founded the Abolition Society. In 1763, Franklin wrote that African shortcomings and ignorance were not inherently natural, but came from lack of education, slavery, and negative environments. He also wrote that he saw no difference in learning between African and white children. After the American Revolution, many colonists, particularly in the North, where slavery was relatively unimportant to the agricultural economy, began to link the oppression of the enslaved African to their own oppression by the British, and to call for slavery's abolition. What Abraham Lincoln said about our founders and slavery. "The founding fathers," said Lincoln, "had opposed slavery. They adopted a Declaration of Independence that pronounced all men created equal. They enacted the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, banning slavery from the vast Northwest territories. To be sure, many of the founders owned slaves, but they asserted their hostility to slavery in principle while tolerating it temporarily in practice. That is why they did not mention the word slavery or slave in the Constitution, but referred only to persons held to service. Thus the thing is hid away in the Constitution," said Lincoln. "Just as an afflicted man hides away a wen or a cancer, which he dares not cut out at once, lest he bleed to death, with the promise nevertheless that the cutting away may begin at the end of a given time, the first step was to prevent the spread of this cancer, which the fathers took with the Northwest Ordinance, the prohibition of the African slave trade in 1807, and the Missouri Compromise restriction of 1820. The second was to begin a process of gradual emancipation, which the generation of the fathers had accomplished in the states north of Maryland." Lincoln continued, "In 1794, they forbidden an ongoing slave trade, that is, the taking of slaves from the United States to sell. In 1798, they forbidden the bringing of slaves from Africa into the Mississippi Territory, this territory then comprising what are now the states of Mississippi and Alabama. This was 10 years before they had the authority to do the same thing as to the states existing at the adoption of the Constitution. In 1800, they forbidden American citizens from trading in slaves between foreign countries, as for instances from Africa to Brazil. In 1803, they passed a law in aid of one of the two state laws in restraint of the internal slave trade. In 1807, in an apparent hot haste, they passed a law nearly a year in advance to take effect the first day of 1808, the very first day the Constitution would permit, forbidding the African slave trade by heavy pecuniary and corporal penalties. In 1820, finding these provisions ineffectual, they declared the trade piracy and annexed it to the extreme penalty of death. While all this was passing in the general government, five or six of the original slave states had adoption systems of gradual emancipation, and by which the institution was rapidly becoming extinct within these limits. Thus we see the plain, unmistakable spirit of that age toward slavery was hostility to the principle and toleration only by necessity. In Lincoln's famous 1860 Cooper Union speech, he noted that, of the 39 framers of the Constitution, 22 had voted on the question of banning slavery in the new territories. 20 of the 22 voted to ban it, while another one of the Constitution's framers, George Washington, signed it into law, legislation enforcing the Northwest Ordinance that banned slavery in the Northwest Territory. At Cooper Union, Lincoln also quoted Thomas Jefferson, who had argued in favor of Virginia's emancipation. It is still in our power to direct the process of emancipation and deportation peaceably, and in such slow degree as that the evil will wear off insensibly. To be sure, the Founding Fathers weren't abolitionists. They were overwhelmingly anti-slavery. Before we judge too harshly, we must understand that slavery was established long before the Revolutionary War. There isn't a specific date, of course, but it grew from there. Our founding fathers were born into a world whose economy relied on slave labor, from cotton, tobacco, and sugarcane plantations, even to local businesses. Some believe that since slavery was so commonplace, growing a conscience about it might easily not have happened at all. They suggested that the fact that they had opposed slavery at all is incredibly radical for their time. They did, in fact, grow consciences. By the quotes, later letters, and documents they left behind, it is clear that our founding fathers wished to see slavery ended, though they did not believe it possible for it to happen in their lifetime. Some of them, most notably Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, and John Jay, were very supportive of the rapidly growing abolitionist movement. Benjamin Franklin was president of the Pennsylvania Society for Promoting the Abolition of Slavery, which included Jay and Hamilton. The year he died, he signed a petition for the abolition of all slavery. He died before he got to see it to become a reality. John Jay, as governor of New York, made numerous efforts to push anti-slavery laws. He founded the New York State's Society for Promoting the Manumission of Slaves and New York's African Free School, which taught free slaves reading, writing, and basic arithmetic. Hamilton grew up with a deep-rooted hatred of the slave trade that fueled his work as an avid supporter of the abolitionist his entire life. The Founding Fathers' public attitude toward slavery suggests that they were not cruel slave owners nor mistreated those beneath them. Even James Madison, who never made any public anti-slavery efforts, is quoted as telling his overseers to be kind and compassionate to his slaves. Benjamin Franklin taught his slaves to read and write and cared very much for some of them. A British abolitionist wrote a letter to James Madison asking many questions about slavery that gives a picture of how Madison viewed slavery and what the prevalent beliefs about slavery were at the time. According to Madison, it was not uncommon for slave owners to get attached to their slaves. The smaller the household, the more this seemed to be true. especially of our founding fathers. In letters from these men to and from their wives, they recall many stories about their personal slaves, asked about their well-being, and in more than one case, they requested in their wills that those closest to them be freed at their deaths. None of the founding fathers lived to see the legal abolition of slavery, though by the time they died, they had contributed towards preparing the gradual act for the abolition of slavery. Patrick Henry, who is most famous for his quote, "Give me liberty or give me death," wrote in a letter, "I am drawn along by a general inconvenience of living without them. I will not, I cannot justify it, however culpable my conduct." When George Washington's father, Augustine, died in 1743, George Washington became a slave owner at the early age of 11. Despite having been an active slave holder for 56 years, George Washington struggled with the institution of slavery and spoke frequently of his desire to end the practice. Washington wrote to a friend and said, "I can only say that there is not a man living who wishes more sincerely than I do to see a plan adopted for the abolition of slavery." Patrick Henry wrote, "It is not a little surprising that Christianity should encourage a practice so totally repugnant to the first impressions of right and wrong." James Madison, in a letter to his father, told a story about his slave who was traveling with him. He concluded that he would have to sell the slaves, though I do not expect to get near the worth of him, but cannot think of punishing him by transportation merely for converting that liberty for which he have paid the price of so much blood, and have proclaimed so often to be the right and worthy the pursuit of every human being. George Madison, called the father of the Bill of Rights, said in his address to the Virginia Ratifying Convention, "As much as I value a union of all states, I would not admit the southern states into the union unless they agreed to the discontinuance of this disgraceful trade, because it would bring weakness and not strength to the union. And the argumentation of slaves weakens the states, and such a trade is diabolical in itself and disgraceful to mankind." Okay, bring us to the end of that. If anybody would like to see a copy of that, we have put it up on our YouTube. If you go here and click on our YouTube page on our National Liberty Alliance. Oh, nope, it goes directly to YouTube. So it's youtube.com/ National Liberty Alliance. We've got three PowerPoints that we've posted up here in the past 3 weeks. We'll try to post one every week and go through some subject matter each week. You know, I quoted earlier that Jefferson spoke about the Republican Party, the Democrat Republican Party, although I don't think he's ever mentioned it, but others had made the connection. And the key point to that was, of course, we are a republic. But we choose our people who represent us or our leaders in a democratic fashion. But surely we are a republic. It is extremely important that we start to really get that word out concerning the republic, especially what's going on today with all the problems we see and concerns, particularly with the election and things that are happening with that. You see a lot of people talking, and they're constantly saying that we're a democracy. And nothing could be further from the truth. Our founding fathers despised democracy. Matter of fact, we're probably going to do a PowerPoint on democracy versus republic in the near future. I think the next one we may do is going to be on law and equity. But I've working on quite a few of them. I got about 30 or 40 of them that I've been working on for quite some time. I got to clean them up and put them together. And again, we'll be sharing one a week. Every Monday. I'll try to keep them short so we don't take up too much time on our Monday night calls. Really surprising, and it shows you how much we have been put to sleep. The fact that all of these historians, and every place you look, every place you read, they talk about Jefferson as a horror, really. They never bring these things up. This was not very difficult to find. A lot of this stuff I did find in the book called The Real Thomas Jefferson, and also in The Making of America, a couple of books that you can get. Anybody can get these books if they go up to the National Center for Constitutional Studies. Their website, I believe, the website is nccs.net, for National Center for Constitutional Studies. A lot of great books up there. We've made a list of those books that we've had. I made a list of those books that that I have read and looked at, and some others that I haven't even gotten yet. So we do have a list of books for people who are interested in digging a little more deep into our founding fathers, which is extremely important to understand where we come from, to understand our heritage. Thomas Jefferson was the key figure of bringing the Enlightenment. And the Enlightenment ultimately, that began actually, I think it was in the 1600s. Let me think about this. It might have been the 1500s. Yeah, it might have been in the 1500s, which would be the 16th century. Jefferson, in his research and studies, discovered this, and he brought that into and created, the structure of government that we have today, built upon Enlightenment. And Enlightenment ultimately focuses in, ultimately, on the value of our souls and our relationship with God, and of course, the principles of the Bible. One of the places, if you go under education, and you come down and click on, NLA Topics PowerPoint Videos. We also have a copy of the videos that we have put up on the YouTube. You can get them all on this page also, starting from the first one right up to the latest one we just did, which was the third one, Slavery in America, Our Founding Fathers and Slavery in America. I guess we'll move along here. Jan, do we have any questions? Or Terry, who's handling questions?
Well, hopefully we have three tonight. Would you like the first one?
Okay.
How do you suggest we help our commander-in-chief? I propose an order to show cause post-election fraud and let Trump run with it using any and all means, U.S. Marshals, military, and so forth. This will help with all other enforcements of NLA's decisions and orders if the president acts on it, and I believe he will. Timing is everything.
Well, I'm not too sure exactly about writing a paper and filing it into the courts concerning this. I was thinking of doing an information and filing that and serving that on to particularly the president and William Barr, but haven't given a lot of thought on that yet. We have to realize this is not a surprise. Trump has been talking about the problem with election. That's going to be a major problem. You're not going to know who was elected on election day, and he brought this up in the beginning of this year when they started to push these ballots and things, these mail-in ballots. I don't think we really should have too much of a concern about the end results of this. The end results, of course, is going to be the election of Donald Trump, the re-election of Donald Trump, and it's going to be overwhelming, I believe. Probably a lot more votes, maybe even, that he should have gotten than what he's gotten. I understand that he hit a record of votes. But I understand that they're claiming, of course, that Biden hit a record number of votes even more than Trump. I mean, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But time will take its course. We got to trust the plan. Q always talks about that. So trust the plan and let him go forward with that. I think the most important thing that we, the people, can do is to educate ourselves, to organize ourselves, to get more and more people involved, to get connected with our movement with the constitutional sheriffs, our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. People should get involved in that and definitely educate themselves. After all, he spoke about giving back to the people the power. He wasn't elected to take power, but to give power back to the people where it belongs. That's what he said. And he said that in a couple of different ways over the years. And the problem, of course, is that the people don't know how to accept that power. They don't understand the power and the authority. First of all, they don't understand law. They don't know what law is. They think all this legislative law, these codes and statutes, are law. And that has nothing to do with us, of course. That has to do with all the bureaucrats and anybody operating commercial activity that is interstate and a few other things that these statutes and codes and regulations were written for. We, the people, are under law, meaning natural law, which, of course, they have hidden. And that is our battle, and that is our focus. Now, we are... I'm not sure where Jim was. I know last time I spoke with Jim, he was collecting together and organizing for us to start going through the indictments of all these judges. We've indicted quite a few judges and some other individuals, but mostly judges. Most of them were federal, but we've got quite a few of them, and I think we need to move towards that indictment, all those indictments, file those indictments, and get a copy to Barr and expect that he's going to execute them at some point in time. I wouldn't expect him to execute them at the moment. I think that's probably one of the last things that they would want to focus in on, which was cleaning up the courts. You know, a lot of people have got to go to jail. There's no getting away from that. We're talking about a lot of people in media. They are compliant. They're part of the conspiracy to destroy this presidency. And most of the Democrats, if not all the Democrats in the legislature, and there are Republicans also that also need to go to jail. And I think at some point in time, of course, all that's going to take place. We expect that to happen. He can't not do that. Because if he doesn't do that, then he hasn't accomplished the goal of bringing America back to where it belongs. We've got to get rid of these people. And we have to expose these people. And, you know, there's going to be a huge reality check. At some point in time, people, of course, are going to see what's really been going on behind the scenes. I mean, a lot of us know what's going on. I've known since, I started to learn in the beginning of 2000, 1999 and 2000, when I started to learn all of these things and realize, wow, we're in trouble. At some point, and of course, we don't know all. There's a lot more that we don't even know. Think of all the inventions that they have been suppressing, free energy and a whole bunch of things, cures because of the pharmaceutical companies and so on and so forth. So I don't think we want to interfere with Trump's plan. I know a lot of people are out there saying, why isn't Barr doing something? Why isn't Trump doing this? Or why that? Or why this? Or why the other thing? Because everything has a time. And for those who don't know it, you go out to YouTube and a lot of the news programs we've been watching in different places and sources we've been getting our information from, it's not out there no more. I mean, there are a few of them. But then it's not out there no more, and we got to go off of YouTube to find it. Probably one of the most important ones, in my opinion, is the X-22 report. And anybody who's not getting that and can't find that, just go to x22.com. And right there on the front page when you go in, he asks you to give an email, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But he sends notices if you give him an email. And he also will have information should that website be shut down. He has created numerous different websites and different things in order to move from one point to another because he has been having problems even on websites. Just recently he was talking about that, Dave from X22. But anyway, it's probably a good idea to leave your email, because again, if that website goes down, you'll get an email to tell him where he'll be at that point. But X22report.com, and right there on the front page, you'll see the latest and the one before that. So if you see today's, you'll see yesterday's also on that same page. And so that's probably one of the best sources of information. I mean, there are others that I've listened to, because, of course, and get a lot of information. But as far as really behind-the-scenes kind of information, Dave with X22 is probably the best. But anyway, going back to the question, I don't want to interfere. I want to do something with an information. I'd made some notes. I don't remember exactly what it was that I wanted to do. I've been writing a lot of papers here, and I got quite a few cases going, and of course, also working on these PowerPoints and just very, very busy. But I do want to send an information, but I'm not going to really stick our nose into a plan that we don't really understand or know. And we can't expect too much too quick. It's going to take some time. Anyway, that's about that with that. Next question.
Okay. A friend of mine in Vancouver has been charged under the Canada Quarantine Act, which is a mandatory quarantine for 14 days after traveling outside the country. What are some ways my friend could fight the charge against him, and what approach, in your opinion, could help him best fight this charge?
Well, I presume he's come from Canada back into the United States, it didn't seem clear. Was it clear to you?
It doesn't say where he went, but he apparently went outside the country.
Right. If he went outside the country and then came back into the country, they tell you all this stuff to do. I had a friend that went down to Florida some months back. And, he did a test before he went, and he was negative with the China virus. But he did have a paper with him just in case he got stopped. And he did get stopped down there in Florida. And they told him he was under quarantine and that he couldn't leave his hotel room for 14 days. I mean, that's the most insane thing in the world. I mean, but in any event, once they left, he did whatever he wanted. There was no one watching or anything like that. But I don't know what the circumstances is. Someone was charged with something?
I
don't know what
guy.
That even means.
This guy, the way I took it, he went back to Canada. He's charged under Canada's law. They don't have a constitution like we do. I mean, if you read the question again, Jan, it says he came back to Canada, I believe. So right. He's under Canada's
mandatory.
And we
can't help him with that.
I mean, I don't know what their constitution's like and all that stuff, so it makes, it's hard.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we don't have an answer for that because, we're in the United States. But if it is the United States, again, the word charged was the one that tripped me up because I've never heard any but charged with 14 days, I never heard that before.
Well, I'll tell you, if you leave New York right now, John, and you come and you come back from any one of these big list of states that Cuomo made, you're required to quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah, but is Big Brother going to be there watching you, or what?
Well, if you're carrying a cell phone with you, and they can figure it out, they can go.
Well,
on
I'll shut it off.
And yeah, well, you better put it in a Mylar.
I'll leave it at home. I'll leave it at home.
That's one way. Yeah, I'm just saying they have that. Now, most of these charges never make it up to the appeals court. Like if you appeal it, they may try to charge you locally. Because they're not laws. They're edicts. Mm-hmm. And so, technically, if you take it up to the appeals court, how are they going to uphold it?
Yeah.
There's no statute they can hang on,
Yeah, I wouldn't waste too much time on these subjects. I mean, it's important to discuss them, but we have more important things to really focus in on. But, yes, in the United States, I'm not aware of any place where they really press it. They make a big stink about it and so on.
No, it's going to get worse, so you better be careful because it's going to get worse.
I think things are going to happen soon.
They're spraying the kids down as they go in and out of school with some kind of stuff. They got this. They got this disinfectant. They spray everything down. They say don't wash it off. It lasts 6 months. I can imagine what health hazards there is to that.
Yeah,
anyway.
And they're causing more problems because we need bacteria.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, the lawsuits are going to be wall to wall. Anyway,
well, there's not going to be anyone to sue at this point. At some point, because they'll all be in jail, in my opinion. Look, there has to be a mass arrest. There's got to be thousands and thousands of people. And by the way, you know, Trump didn't rebuild the Guantanamo Bay, or whatever that's called. It's Guantanamo Bay, right? Or Guantanamo. He didn't rebuild all that for nothing. I mean, there was a purpose for that. And look, if he were to have lost this election, I don't think him and his family would survive much longer. And matter of fact, a lot of us may not either. We should realize the fact that they're going to prove the election was the whole thing was fake, and a lot of fraudulent ballots came through. And I trust that they're going to be successful. All right. There's another question there, Jan?
Yes, there's one more. Would John ever consider conducting a live, free, or low-cost webinar explaining what NLA is about, including information on the current campaign for constitutional sheriffs, with the goal of recording more members and especially donors, which the current membership could advertise widely beforehand in order to generate a high level of participation in the webinar by people unaware of NLA's existence or at least of its purpose? Or is John too busy with other projects to attempt such an endeavor?
Yeah, and you know, right now we have 3-hour meetings every week. We discuss these different subjects. Right to our front page. We've got a lot of this stuff right on our welcoming page here as you come in. Let me get there. Okay, and by the way, we've got a couple of videos up on our front page. We'll let them sit up there for a while concerning the election and kind of early information and some interesting information. Anybody who hasn't seen, if you're looking at the screen right now, if you haven't seen this particular video, North Korean defector exposes Kim Jong-un and China, what a story this is. Anybody who hasn't watched this video, when you get some time, try to find time to watch this video. Very powerful. And it really is, if we turn Marxist, the whole world will turn Marxist, communist, or whatever you want to call it. All the isms are all the same. Marxism, communism, Nazism, it doesn't matter. The end result is the same. Big brother, and you're just tied down. But the whole world would be what this woman experienced in her life. It's an amazing story. It's amazing that she was able to come out of that and have the intellect that she has and the ability to go forward. She's written a book or two, and she tells a story on this interview with Patrick David. I don't know if people are familiar with this guy, Patrick David. This guy is one of the best interviewers I've ever seen. This guy is really good. He's got some of the interviews I find a little boring here or there, but general, most of his interviews really rock solid. He's someone that people might want to listen to. Good, good interviewer. Did you want to say something, Gerard?
I wanted to say that we definitely will turn into China because Biden's already sold out to China.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's already pledged us, so to speak. So if he goes on to be president,
it's
guarantee
it's lock and load at that, but that can never happen. It'll be civil war.
It'll be China 2.0. They'll be tracking us and tracing us and doing everything they do to them. Anyway.
Yeah, look, it'd be civil war. America is gone if we lose this election. America is gone. We're moving Marxism, and Marxism, again, it channels right into communism, and it's really it's a horror story. But anyway, going back here on this page to answering the question, we also have the power of the county sheriff here. We have Donate to Save the Republic to NLA's campaign for constitutional sheriffs. And, of course, we have our open forum every Monday. We have the plan NLA plan in a nutshell. I'll see what I have up on. I know we got a lot of this stuff also. So I don't know whether doing a, you know, a webinar or something. We get our members to come, and sometimes we get some new people come to our meetings. I don't know how we would get more. I think people need to get out there and get more people to attend our meetings, to come out and read our front page and get involved. Because I'll tell you what, the window of opportunity we have, and I know I sound like a broken record here, but it needs to be said, and it needs to be said as often as possible. The people are too ignorant to our who they are, you know, as we the people, to their heritage, what common law is, what law is, the difference between law and equity. They are way, way too ignorant to those things, and there's no way, no way, when Trump is gone, is that we're going to be able to continue to hold this republic. The republic in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you know, some of us may not be here, but our children and our children's children will be here, and we need to look forward to that. We need to solve this problem now. But I'm going to tell you, if the people do not step up and take power and control, like Trump said, I was elected not to take power, but to give power back to the people where it belongs. And if the people can't receive that power, if they think voting is receiving that power, I got a bridge down in Brooklyn to sell. Because we have to get it. We have to understand our Constitution. I have heard so many people talking about conservatism, the Supreme Court judge conservative, and this and conservative. Look at, let's stop with the conservative. We have to be constitutionalists. As Jefferson said, we're all Republicans and we're all Federalists. We need to understand the meaning of that, what it means to be a Republican. You know, Jefferson did not start a political party, but his position and the coining of that led people to create that party, and it became an opposition to other positions. You know, there was the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, and we have to remember, you know, Jefferson and James Madison and numerous others, they were anti-federalists. And Jefferson said, I'm not really anti-federalist. You know, he says, I'm a federalist. But, you know, that the whole purpose of that anti-federalist movement was to deal with the problems that were not dealt with in the creation of our Constitution. We have a very powerful and a very strong Constitution, but without a Bill of Rights, we have no liberty. End of subject, nothing else to talk about. Now, I've heard people in the past say, we never really needed to have a Bill of Rights. The Constitution on its own, that was sufficient. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Is the fact that we have those Bill of Rights is the fact that still leaves us to hang on some liberty. You know, look at the Second Amendment. Look what we have to do in order to carry a weapon or have a weapon. Look at all the hoops we got to go through. This has all got to be erased and done away with. But that could never be done, never, ever be done until the people come to understand, you know, their heritage and understand the meanings of these things, what the law is and how the courts work. And, you know, and again, that's why we have the course. You know, which you find right up here, you know, on our website, government by consent course and the other courses we have, but particularly government by consent course. And also, that's why we wrote the book, you know, Government by Consent. And I'll tell you, you know, this book alone would assist you in the courts for sure. And it's easy to get around. We have an index in there, but it's easy to get around. And you can build positions. Everything has a source. But in any event, you know, people have got to step up and take control. We're missing, a certain opportunity. We need everybody listening right now. We need people to go out there and make contact with people, particularly people on YouTube, for instance, that do interviews and things of that nature, that have a big following, and they're in the movement, to save the republic or to save America. They don't even understand, most of them, what the republic really is. But you know, we need to get interviewed by these people. We need to get the word out to all these people that are working to try to get information out to the people. This is the most important information that we need to get out to the people, how to take power and authority. And we got to, you know, without understanding and knowing power and authority, we can't have it at all. And we have to understand how it works and how we can take it back and what our heritage actually is. Okay, there are no more questions, Dan?
Nope, no more questions. That's it.
I just wanted to say something. You know, the people are hungry right now, and I'm going to tell you, case in point, somebody started a group over here in this county about we the people are fed up or had enough or something. And they got 175,000 people on there in like 24 hours.
Well, they need to lead it to us. I don't understand why we don't.
Well, they don't know. Look it. It's just, and they're not now. Facebook and all the social media stuff, what is it, Messenger, is not sending the invites because they're already trying to battle it because they understand that this is a movement. See, Trump needs to get rid of these media people. They need to go down.
Well, but, you see, that's where you got to make a connection, and there's lots of people all over the place. I've seen, you know, the caravans of cars and trucks and all the Trump flags and the American flag coming. They came through Hyde Park here numerous times over the past couple of weeks. And this is going on all over America. Everyone in this room is probably aware of some group in their basic area that is doing that kind of thing. We need to get to those people. We need to get them here to National Liberty Alliance so that they can get that proper education, take power and authority on the grassroots level, without which they can't have it. You cannot have liberty without have taken power and have government by consent. Yeah.
Well, my suggestion, and everybody has a certain talent over here. We got lots of people. We got lots of different talent. But I keep going back to Ron Paul when he was running. He didn't get real successful until he hired that kid to make him some videos and put animations in. And did
I don't think he hired him. I think he just came out and did it. And I don't know if he hired him after that or anything. But,
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a big movement right after.
He did the first few for free or whatever, but I think he ended up joining the campaign and getting paid. He got a position. But it doesn't matter. The trouble is right now is, you know, if we make a video, just a meme or whatever, people should be putting them out on their own. NLA, you know, put us in. Tired, fed up, go see NLA, Common Law Grand Jury. Just a little meme.
Well, absolutely. You know, and send them to YouTube. Look at our website. Anybody looking at their thing, Slavery in America, which I just put up 3 days ago, which we did tonight, only 30 views, 35 views on the Supreme Court's Abuse Amendment 10. And then we have 111 views on the solution, government by consent. And then we got the campaign for constitutional sheriffs. That was put up 2 months ago. That's 686 views. Why everyone here should be getting these, you know, sending these YouTube videos out to people saying, hey, go look at this. You know, people do this all day long. I get emails all the time, and a lot of people, they send links to me, you know, go watch this video. This is what we should be doing with NLA. Get people to watch our videos. So, again, we just started this, although we've had this for quite some time, you know, the YouTube channel with National Liberty Alliance, you know, because we've used that with a lot of videos we posted up, and we used a lot of those videos that we posted up in all our courses. You know, I've been posting videos for quite a few years up on National Liberty Alliance. Which, by the way, Jan, did you ever find out who's controlling that other channel of ours? We got to shut that down.
No.
We're going to confuse people.
No. I think we just need to shut it down. I can't find out who is.
Yeah, but how do we shut it down? I mean, you know, we don't even know who's doing it.
I thought we could go to YouTube.
Yeah, make a complaint.
No, they're going to listen to us. Yeah.
They listen to everybody. Say, this subversive channel here, we don't want it.
Yeah.
They're looking for Trump.
Somebody,
right off.
somebody that is with us and coming to the meetings is doing this, and you know, I know we've had people that we've given, you know, told them to do some things and nothing really got accomplished or anything, and we now are doing something here. But the thing is they're posting our Monday night programs in video, and it's too heavy loaded to begin with. It's 3 hours long. Oh, some of them are over 3 hours long. We're not going to draw people in by those videos. I think the shorter ones is what we need, and then, you know, invite them to the Monday night meeting for Q&A and other conversations and things that we, you know, are looking into. You know, we have Brent that also teaches some things here. By the way, is Brent here? Has anyone seen Brent? Brent, if you're here, pipe up, and if you're here and not coming in as a host, get into the queue so we'll see you.
And John, I don't know who's doing our, we have a couple guys. One guy was supposed to, like, expose us, you know, whoever, whatever, that guy we talked to, we had the meeting, and he talked about that he was able to bring a lot of companies into, you know, exposure and bring them traffic. Now, this site you got here, this should have search engine optimization. It should have keywords that drives traffic here. It's tough today because YouTube is not playing fair. And if we get too much travel on a video, they'll start shutting us down. But first they're going to, we got to get built up before they could shut us down. So right. we got to do it because, you know, and I wouldn't worry about getting shut down. They're not going to shut you down until you get a couple hundred thousand views, you know what I mean? Then they'll say, oh, what's going on here? But we got to do it. So I don't know. I don't remember who that guy was, but we need to talk to him. And I thought, I also thought that, what's his name, was also kind of a web guy that could...
Well, I think, I'm not sure that would... I'm thinking of someone else. I know, Jen, who are you speaking to that's supposed to connect us with, what's that guy's name?
Jimmy Schwinn.
Yeah, where are we at with that?
Robert David Steele is the guy.
Right.
But if Jimmy, we get onto him, I think that can open a big door for us.
Jimmy right. Schwinn said he could get us exposure. Besides Robert David Steele, we need him to
Let's connect with
site.
Him.
Yeah, we need to talk to him. Like, this YouTube stuff you're putting up, we need to drive traffic here.
Absolutely.
What do we need to do? We need to do search engine optimization. Certain keywords got to be put up there so that when you search it, it comes up in Google or whatever.
Well, I have a lot of keywords. You know, we can go through them, but I got a lot of keywords in all of these videos. And also a connection to our website, come and learn more.
The same thing with National Liberty Alliance, because people are searching now. So we got to throw more and different keywords on National Liberty Alliance. When they search for, you know, we're fed up or something, we got to put keywords in that are going to drive them to our site right now.
So the only way we're going to accomplish this is that people that are coming to this meeting here step up and do things. You don't even have to ask for permission to make connections first. Go make connections.
Exactly.
You know, do whatever you can and connect them, you know. You know, if they want to talk to someone, if it's
you could put this link to this site in your on the top of all your emails. Remember how we used to do that? You put the link and say, go here, see this. And whenever you send an email to anybody for anything or any business, you have the link to NLA in there with a short little blurb. That's the way you do it. And look, we're all keyboard warriors. We should all be doing it. Look, I do it anytime I'm on the computer. I'm at my warrior status. I'm putting stuff everywhere. You know, I mean, and Facebook, forget about it. I mean, I'm doing it all the time. I got a little reputation around here for people that know me now. And they start coming around and asking me questions. And I tell them, I say, you know, you got to spread the word too. Because this battle is going to, this is the where we want to fight it. We don't want to fight it in the ditch with a gun because that's going to be too hard. We're never going to get back what we lose, you know?
Absolutely. You know, we got, people can send them to this page here, nationallibertyalliance.org/videos, which focuses in specifically on the videos we really wanted to watch. Okay, right now there are three of them up there. Or they can send them directly to our YouTube page where all of our videos are youtube.com/National Liberty Alliance videos. Now, originally, if you just put a National Liberty Alliance, you'll come to this page. If you click on the videos, you'll see all the videos we've got. We've got a lot of videos up here. Again, I've been doing a lot of videos for years now, and a lot of these videos are in our courses. So anybody, some of the TV stuff, remember this, Gerard? I don't know if you're looking at the
Oh, my goodness.
Screen,
take that
off. So a lot of stuff here. And what? Just one scroll, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we've got. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff up here, but I don't want people to get lost and lose the message. So I think it's probably best to send them to our page, nationallibertyalliance.org/videos. And these topics from which are the YouTube videos. And again, you know, look at before we continue on much further, it's important that people get involved with this campaign for constitutional sheriff. If you haven't bought your sheriff a book yet, it's time to do it. You know, I'm still waiting for a more rock solid price on the book. Last time they've given me a price was $48.95 for the book. But I got to believe it's going to be cheaper than that, and I've been pushing them, and they just haven't given me a price yet. I'm going to try to push them again this week because I'd like to get that price lowered down, because maybe $50 is a little much. But on the other hand, you know, $50 is the bare minimum for, you know, if you donate to Trump's campaign or what we're doing here with in the courts and contribute to that, the smallest amounts is $50. And $50, look, it's really, you know, $50 is $50, but I'm sure in the course of a month people can find $50, you know. And, you know, just give up something and buy a book for your sheriff. And while you're at it, buy a book for yourself. It's important that we sell as many pre-sales as we can. Because, again, we want to get in that list. In my contract, I'm going to be up on Amazon. The book will be sold up on Amazon. I'm going to call them tomorrow to see if, you know, we should start doing pre-sales up on Amazon right now. And if not, then I think we need to renegotiate that part of the contract, and I'll go put it up myself and start selling books up on Amazon. You know, Amazon could give us some good exposure. Right now, we're only advertising only on our website, and sales aren't going as well as I would hope. You know, we got over 9,000 members now, and you would think we can sell 4,000, 5,000 books, which would be huge. To sell 4,000, 5,000 books pre-sales before you even it's released, that's something that'll get attention, you know. So, everybody, you know, anybody with deep pockets, okay, anybody that's got some money that can afford to throw $5, $10, $15, $20,000 at this campaign, it's extremely important to do so. And anybody who throws that kind of money into it, I would take whatever the cost of the book is to me and make the division and plus the shipping and buy that many books. But we need to get the book sold because that's where the message is at. That's the roadmap to government by consent. And there's nobody else out there doing what we're doing. Absolutely nobody. And again, if there is, anybody comes up and finds somebody doing what we're doing, we're dealing with the political and the judicial side of things, plus we're active in the courts and so on. You know, connect them with us, and we'll see. Hopefully, we'll be compatible and go forward. The big problem is, you know, I spend all day long, every day for a long time, reading, researching, you know, and writing and bringing things together. So, you know, I got a lot of information, and I've found a lot of truths that, you know, I've never known, and I'm trying to share that with everybody. And the problem is people are getting information that's not necessarily true, nor do they really understand certain things. You know, believe it or not, a lot of people that are in this, even in the judicial side of things, they don't really even understand the difference between law and equity, you know. Law is common law. It has nothing to do with anything, any legislative law, any man-made law has nothing to do with it. Law is law. And Black's law and Brovier's law is very clear on that. Just look it up and start a research and go down, you know, at law, in law, law, it's all common law. Okay? Positive law is authoritative legislative law, you know, legislative law with an authority, and the authority is the people. That's positive law. You know, if you have a republic and they write law and they write legislative law, unless the people, and we're the only ones, the only nation that has to set up that way, their legislative law comes from the people that are in power, whether they're elected or just people who have taken the power, and they claim a republic. Russia claims to be republic. Okay, China's a republic. Okay, but their law, their legislative law, is not positive law. It's legislative law. It's fiction. It's not. It ultimately it's the law of the city, municipality law, Roman law, Justinian law, Babylonian law. All of those are the same thing. It's controlling the people, okay? And that's not who we are and what we are as a people. All right. Brenton? Brent, are you here?
I don't see him.
I didn't see him.
All right. Well, I'll pass the control to you, and I'm gonna disappear in a little while because I'm exhausted. But I'm gonna hang out for a while. Maybe I'll pipe in a little bit here or there. So if you wanna start taking questions, Gerard.
Yeah, hang on. Let me get my screen up to where I need to
be. I see Kevin from New York. He looks like he's on the top, so try to get him first.
Okay.
I know he's tried a few times to talk, and he's fallen away, so.
All right, so I
just... Yeah, just a quick question for you guys. Did you receive my money order for government by consent?
I don't know. I probably, you know, again, we've got, I pass them all over to Francine, and Francine's got someone who's working on them to list them off, but I'm sure we have. I mean, I've got about 10 or 12 of them on my desk here that I got to scan in. Well, maybe it's not that many, but maybe 8 or 9. I got to scan in and send it over, but I'm sure we have. I'll take a look, and next Monday, if you want to ask me again, I'll let you know.
Okay, fair enough then. Next Monday I'll check in. Thank you, John.
Okay, Kevin.
Okay, we got Jeff. We don't have too many people in there. It's going to be a good...
Yeah,
be a
star
quick
six
night.
And a one to get into the queue, star six and a one.
Just, yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I kind of had
Jeff.
Two questions. One of them was about the videos and the YouTube channel and that, and it's probably something I should know, but I don't know exactly how to do it. But can I send a particular video to someone, and not just the link to the channel, maybe
yeah,
include the link to the channel,
you,
but highlight a particular video that I know would tweak their interest, and then it'd be easy for them to go further into it after they had the interest kind of tweaked.
Yeah, if you want to download the video, I know Firefox offers a a plugin that you can download.
Yeah, there's
videos.
Lots of them out there. Yeah,
and yeah, there's lots of. They're all for free too, so you can download them. One, I look at all except for the book. Nothing I have is really copyrighted, and freely I have received. And you know,
well, some
you
of those.
Do you do that from the YouTube channel, or do you just do it from the website, if it's one on the website you like?
No, you have to go to the YouTube channel, okay. Like here. I don't know if you can see on the screen here. You go to the YouTube channel, and that's youtube.com/ National Liberty Alliance. That's where I would send them direct to that page. Any of these videos, you can click on and download them. I haven't downloaded.
When you were playing the video, isn't there a URL up there that if you copy that and paste it, it'll bring them to that video, or no? It'll bring them to our site.
Well,
you know, when you play the video,
I could. Yeah, I could post them up on a website for download, but then they'll start getting pretty heavy. I'll
see
what I can
do. When you play it and you go up to the, when you go up to the URL bar, when that video is playing and you copy that URL, you can put that in an email. If the guy clicks on it, it should bring him to that video. Sometimes they work like that. You got to try it.
Well, that'll definitely do. He wants to do it without a link. He wants to actually download the video.
Yeah, but he wants to send them a video that'll pique their interest. You don't need to download the video to do that. You just need to copy the URL, send it to them, and let them click on it, and it'll bring them to
Right. I think he knows that. You know that, Jeff, right?
Right. I think I'd prefer to do it out of YouTube as much as I could.
Yeah.
And build the network less fragile than relying on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, you can download it with Firefox. They have a download plugin. Just look at their plugins, and, you know, there's a download helper. Matter of fact, I think this is it right here. I haven't used it in a while, Video Download Helper. There it is right there. So I got the plugin on my computer already. But, you know, if you send it to people, ask them not to create a, you know, their own YouTube and start posting our videos up there. It's extremely important that we
do that, but you never know, I guess.
We want
people to come to our YouTube because we want to connect them to our website and get them active.
Yeah. I want to connect them to the website. I'm not really big on the YouTube being the centralized point of everything.
Yeah, well, we don't have any choice right now. I mean, look at it.
Well,
right here, we have our own platform.
We do. We can download and send them directly, and with a link to the site.
Right.
Well, right here, right here on our website, under education, you can click on NLA topics, PP, which is PowerPoint video. You can copy this link right up here, which is nationallibertyalliance.org/videos. And that'll get them to the series that we're doing. You know, this is an actual series, you know, series number 1, 2, 3, and so on. So each one of these, and I'll be continuing. Like I said, I got about 40 of them I've done already. I just haven't put voice over yet, but I've already created them, and I'm going through. You know, one of the things about research is you find certain things and you get information, and then, you know, and sometimes you have to interpret things, you know, particularly in law, you know, the construction of law, it's called, and law is built upon law and so on, and in order to make your point. And from time to time, you have to correct yourself. You know, you find, oh, you know, this is that and so on. Like right now, I'm waiting for the editor to get back with my book, and then I'm going to take whatever it takes, a couple of days, sit down and read through the book from beginning to end, and you know, check out the changes that they've made to make sure they don't change the meaning of things. Sometimes by putting a period here or a comma there or correcting some words here or there, it changes the meaning. So I got to read through that to check that out. But at the same time, it gives me an opportunity to update things that I was in error at before that I can correct now. Thankfully, my errors are minimum because most of the information I have is really direct source. And but, of course, when I tell a story and put things together sometime and I make a construction of the sources or the law or whatever it is, you know, conclusions can be off and I got to correct them.
I was going to say that the nice part of downloading the video is that you have it. And, like, if you put it up somewhere and they take it down, you can put it back up because you have control.
Exactly.
You know, I do that with YouTube or not. I do it with Facebook. And I put them in different places that they're not looking for them. There's little tricks, and you misspell words, or you break into the middle of a conversation and you answer somebody and put that video in there, and it takes them a while to catch it. And I've put the same video up on Facebook numerous times, and if you do it right, it'll be up there for days and days before they take it back down.
Yeah, but bear in mind, the key words are like constitution and law and equity, and they don't even know what that is all about anyway, and that's not anything that's going to trip them up or trip something up that says, hey, let's shut these guys down. So we're not in their scopes, so to speak. And like you said, we don't have a lot of numbers. And all this is going to disappear soon. I don't see this going I see this ending before Christmas. I really do. I can't believe that it would go much further. As soon as this election is clear, and Trump does not have to complete all of his research or the people that he's got working to show all of the fraud, because I think he's going to show all the fraud across the entire United States, because the fraud is in every state, but it's more heavily in certain states than others. But these machines and things, particularly, I heard 47 machines or 47 counties had problems with the software that really has changed the voting. And but the thing is I think all he's got to do really is get to the point to show that he's won Pennsylvania, that he's pulled in Virginia.
Well, there's seven states that he needs to concentrate on to win.
Right. Well, I think there's five.
Well, whatever that's what he needs to do first.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do. That's right. Exactly what he's doing. He's doing Pennsylvania, he's doing Michigan.
Look, he can come back and do the Insurrection Act and start arresting him after that.
I think that's where he's heading to. But as soon as he gets that done, let the arrest begin. He can continue laying out, because all of this is going to come up in the courts, and I got to believe it's going to be televised, you know, at least through the internet. We the people need to know. And you know what? We need the United States Supreme Court, all of their hearings, they should be televised. To my knowledge, they're not. Congress is televised. Why isn't the United States Supreme Court televised? We need to know what we need to be able to hear some of these cases ourselves, listen in, and see what kind of decision these people are making. And
nobody,
we already know.
Nobody sees the wizard. Nobody know how.
Yeah. Well, we the people have the power and the authority to do it if we can only know how to do it and pick it up and take it and do it. But one person can't do it. 10 people can't do it. We need approximately 30,000 people to take back the political and judicial process here in the United States. 30,000 people is not a lot when you look at the population of this nation. And you look at all of the people that are so upset and involved with this is the time to get people out to NLA. And but, you know, we have to get them out to NLA and get them connected. We can draw 30,000 people across America, I'm sure. We could do that before the end of the year if we can get enough word out there, but we have to be interviewed. We have to get it out there, you know?
Well, if you think about this, that if what they say, there's only 6 degrees of separation between everyone in the world, if we just took the 9,000 members and they did everyone they know, well, 6 iterations would be everyone in the world, much like.
Well, that's the theory, but the problem is you know, we've got a lot of people who have joined us and don't even remember joining us or exactly why. You know, I've sent an email out recently.
It wouldn't take 1,000 others to do, and it doesn't have to be everyone in my contacts. It could just be everyone that I know would be interested and would move things forward.
Right.
It would be somewhat overwhelming. Relatively quick. I prefer to stay away from the Facebook and the YouTube and do it more in a network situation. That's just me. But as long as they get it and as long as they pass it on, it's good.
This stuff all started with email. Remember when we used to do emails way back when?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all we had was email, and stuff used to go all over the place in email. We've forgotten. Yep. We need to get back to that.
Yeah, I have an email program for high.
They don't watch email as much.
We can't rely on the gatekeeper, that's for sure. Not this gatekeeper.
Yeah, it's like going to their courts looking for justice. Why do you go
but
to
again,
courts?
But again, we have to realize something and be careful on how we spend our time, because we may be spending our time in places we don't need to spend our time, where we can be putting our time in much more better areas. These people are going to be taken down very soon. As soon as the election is settled and we know that Trump won, and that's when let the court cases begin. Let the arrest begin. It's time to clean house. You know, we've won quite a few seats in Congress, and I understand there's like another 15 potential seats or 10 potential seats that are still that nobody knows who won that yet, and that could be a Republican. These could be Republican seats. We could take back the House, but you know what? Even if we don't take back the House, there's going to be so many arrests, particularly with Democrats. We will take back the House, but we have to focus in on our message, on learning and knowing what to do. You know, organizing our counties, getting people involved, and just getting that critical mass And so if just the people that are active with us, that come to our meetings, okay, just those people alone, we can hit critical masses. Everyone get involved and say, hey, let me get this in my emails to people I speak to, people on Facebook or whatever it is that people do. You know, make the connection and connect them to NLA. And this is the solution. Now is the time because the people are semi-conscious anyway. And we need really for the Great Awakening. We need to awake people up. And I'm going to tell you again, I know some people kind of choke on this, but it's the truth, and you can't deny or change the truth. It is what it is. Being awoke, or the awakening, the Great Awakening, that's really coming to realize and understand the value of your soul, ultimately, and your relationship with your Maker, and what we're really here for, the purpose of life. But that ultimately is the message, and it comes through our Founding Fathers. You know, just their quotes, it comes through loud and clear. You know, who we are. Read our documents, Declaration of Independence, you know, lays it out.
I'm moving people there. I tell you, it doesn't take on the first discussion with them. And I don't know, maybe it's just my friends and maybe where I live, but you know they're definitely fed up, and they've gone past the point of where they need to be. A lot of them, they're ready to take up arms. That's where they're at, which is good. But
no, that is good because you know, look at,
you know, that's the last option, and it's a good
Trump's,
one.
If Trump's plan fails, which I don't believe it can or will. If Trump's, because I think he's ready to lock and load too, if necessary. If Trump's plan was to fail, okay, that's the only solution left, and we have no choice because the lockdown is here. Look what they're locking down: Australia, England. I mean, all these other nations are being locked down. Okay, far worse than we are. I mean, they don't have a Bill of Rights, and they got more problems than we do. Canada and all these places.
Law. They have common law, but no Bill of Rights.
That's the problem.
And no consent of the governed, and yet. It seems like they're almost targeted because of their common law.
Well, look at that's just sort of a little bit of an insight of where America is going to be if Biden wins and we get in. Because look at, they're going to continue to lock it down. They're going to take this opportunity to finally take control of the people and lock it down. And once that iron fist closes, you can't open it from within. You can't organize. Well, you can't do nothing. So that's why, if it doesn't succeed, that's what we're going to have to do. There's no getting away with it.
You know, along that line, I read an article the other day on, and I forget if it was Virginia or West Virginia, but they have like 85 counties and 76 counties declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuary counties, or yes, counties.
What state is that?
It's either Virginia or West Virginia, 76 out of 85. And they said, you know, thank you, liberal left, for giving us the idea. And they declared their counties sanctuary Second Amendment counties. They're not enforcing any federal gun rules at all. And all the sheriffs are on board with that. So that's an unusually high number, I give it. But that's what the article was saying. But my other question, when I thought I had two, was along the lines of the campaign.
Which by the way, that's exactly what we need to do, is get to the sheriff. Because if we can educate our sheriffs, once they start to get educated and see what we've put into this book and realize, hey, you can't restrict the Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form. Once they come to realize that and what liberty actually is and what their heritage is and what their powers and authorities are and how much they can really do in order to uphold and support that Constitution and to snuff out Marxism. Look at anybody who is an elected office that is pushing forward Marxism needs to be arrested. They need to be arrested. The Constitution is clear that anybody, and besides that, they're breaking their oath to support and uphold the Constitution. Marxism is not supporting and upholding the Constitution. So that alone should remove them from office. But the fact that they're teaching or using their position as a platform to spring forward Marxism, there's a U.S. code for that. You can't teach and organize and or any of these things, and Marxism, communism, or any of these destructive things. But the people are so, you know.
I've been saying that for years. I don't know why they ignore it.
Yeah, well, look at they complain about the different things, like, you know, for instance, let's take the lamestream media. And you know, if a Republican did that, this is what would happen. That's how inept, how much we've lost any authority. Look at, we need to step up and take authority and power and do something about this. That's what we're doing here, of course. That's what we're doing with our you know, all of our indictments and papers that we're writing. And it's difficult to get it forward right now, but once we get through to some point, that's gonna have to have some weight, and they're gonna have to respond to that, because either we have a republic or we don't. Either we have the Constitution or we don't, and we have to be able to exercise our right to indict. We the people can come together at any given time and indict. We need to take control of this process, the judicial process, which was always meant to be that way. But it never happened. It never happened because the people, they're complacent. They grow. And look, they're not getting a proper education. Jefferson said, we got to give the people a proper education. He was pushing forward, but it never really got established. Yeah, they talk about civics in school and so on and so forth years ago, but it's all fallen away. And I don't know how strong it really was way back when. But in any event, it's not there anymore. We need to get back. And Trump is talking about this, so he's on board with it. He's pushing that point, and we need to connect with him on that.
Well, on the sheriff issue, is there any way to get an understanding of how many more counties actually have sheriffs in place of at least that mindset?
Well, I do know that all the sheriffs in New York State here, with the exception of one or two, according to my sheriff that I spoke with a little while back, and there are seven counties in New York that don't have an elected sheriff, so they're kind of not in the game here. Although they may be because they're appointed, but they don't really. It's a crazy situation there. But in any event, according to my sheriff, all the sheriffs were on board to protect the people's rights of the Second Amendment, and they've all come to the agree when the governor here wanted all of the you know, all of the listings of all the people that have weapons and so on and so forth, the sheriffs control that, and they came together and then they collectively said, no, go to hell, we're not going to give it to you, we're not giving you that list.
You know, they're very good on the Second Amendment, but they fall down on everything else, John.
Yeah, and even on the Second Amendment, they're only partially there.
Yeah, I heard just today that they called my sheriff up to Albany or wherever and pulled him on the carpet because he's not enforcing the COVID complaints. When people call and say, this guy's not wearing a mask. First of all, who calls the sheriff up to anywhere and reads him the riot act? He's not controlled by anybody. He's the top law enforcement.
Well if he doesn't know that.
He should be telling him to go pound salt.
If he doesn't know that, go figure that's it. He's going to obey, or he's got to have a backbone.
How's he going to stand up for the Second Amendment?
I'm going to tell you how he's going to get a backbone. He's going to get a backbone by getting educated and connecting with another sheriff that gets educated. Get two, three, four of them together, and they can do what they got to do.
Look at this sheriff over here needs a visit, because if he allowed them to do that, that's bad. And what he should have done
absolutely.
Is he should have brought a bunch of people up there with him.
That's why we got to get the book out to these sheriffs. People need to realize.
You know, we don't look at. You can't tell me what to do. That's what Sheriff Mack's lawsuit was. You can't tell me what to do in my county.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the chief law enforcement officer, and I don't have to enforce that if I don't think that it's necessary. He has the discretion.
Absolutely,
they can
it's his job to have that discretion.
That's right.
Right or wrong, he's got to have that discretion.
I mean, they understand the Second Amendment kind of, sort of, really, but then they fall down on the First, you know, and all the rest of them. But anyway, I just thought that.
My point was, if we can somehow at least understand the ones that support strongly the Second Amendment, well, those would certainly be the first ones I would target to send the information to about their overall power. They evidently have some understanding. They have a mindset that puts them in a position to move forward with that understanding. And if there's a mechanism that we could identify those...
Well, Sheriff Darr...
counties,
Sheriff Darr is working out there in Michigan. And he's working to work with all the sheriffs. He's organizing them. And I don't know how many he's got together at this point, but he's trying to organize all the sheriffs in Michigan and beyond. He's looking to get a national with this. And for that reason alone, and he's going to write a letter that we will put into the book, so introducing the book from a sheriff to sheriff type thing, and send these books out. So when these books come out, we're going to make sure we get every single sheriff in Michigan a book right up front, right away, because the movement is there. That's where the beginning is of this movement.
Hey, John?
If we know we have a constitutional sheriff that is... There's a large group that is already there, not just the Second Amendment supporters, but ones that understand their role. They're there. I imagine there's several hundred of them across the nation. How come we can't file an indictment in that county and have that sheriff respond to it?
We can. We should indict. I'll tell you what. We should indict the sheriff. If someone could get this information, we need serious information, though. Not just a name. We need to have some information that this sheriff did what was said to have been done. Hold on. In Detroit, when they called the sheriff was there, and he was enforcing the Democrats' rule to push out all the watchers, particularly on the Republicans.
Yeah, he was supposed to be enforcing the Supreme
Court
ruling.
That sheriff needs to be indicted. If someone could find the information, who that sheriff is, and get us some information on it so we can write a paper, we will indict him.
He refused to enforce the Supreme Court's ruling that the counters could go in
there. Exactly.
And it was, and he indicted. He was the guy to do it. It was his job.
He needs to be indicted. So if anybody out there is in Detroit and can get this information, let's get conversation going and let's see what you can get, and we'll do an indictment. We'll ask for an indictment. You know, we're not going to do an indictment, but we will open up the call to hear it, and I'm sure we will get an indictment.
Because we can indict a ham sandwich.
What if we do it the other way around? Not there, not in that particular case, but what if we go to a county that has a constitutional sheriff and indict a judge or someone sitting.
You can't. Let me tell you the problem with that. The problem, and we have sheriff counties with constitutional sheriffs, but you cannot send that sheriff up the hill with his sword out, and he has no other counties.
He drew the whole army around him.
No other people. First of all, look, Darr is a very good sheriff because he has his whole county. He gets reelected every time. He's on four terms or something. So he's very solid in his own county. But if he goes and tries to do something like that, they'll turn the whole force of evil on him. It's like Brent says, you can't attack evil head on, because if you attack evil head on, they pull out all their sources on you, and it's overwhelming. You have to flank it all the time. So one of the things is we need to build up like a tri-county of sheriffs, where you send three sheriffs up with an indictment and a bunch of people. Then they don't know what to do. Then they get scared, because now
they interviewed one of those sheriffs that said that he was not going to enforce the gun rules.
Yeah.
And the reporter pressed them and said, well, you know, what if they send someone down to enforce it? He says, just tell them to send them. He said, I've got over 2,000 in my militia that is no problem. I'll deputize them tomorrow.
And that's happened before. It happened out west, and they said, if you don't do this, we're gonna send a SWAT team. He goes, that's okay, I got a SWAT team too. And that was the federal government telling him he had to enforce some kind of gun rule. And he said, well, bring it on. I got my people. And if I don't have enough, I'll just deputize them, you know, posse comitatus. Look, the federal government knew better. They did not want to start a civil war in his county. You know?
Exactly. So you put the person in jail that they don't want in jail for doing the wrong thing, and there's nothing they'll do about it. And all you have to have is a small ignition source for people to understand it can be done.
Well, that's kind of what we're working on with the Michigan people in that. You know, we're trying to get a coalition up for that. And we're very close. We're very close.
Well, again, we have an active sheriff that understands the Constitution, working with other sheriffs, getting them active, getting them organizing them. And so that's why that's the point of eruption. That's where we have to then make sure that all the sheriffs in that state, which is Michigan, gets a book, okay? So the moment that this book is released, guaranteed all those sheriffs will be getting it right away. And other sheriffs, because people are donating and they are saying for this sheriff, that sheriff, their own counties. And everybody needs to do that. And again, anybody with deep pockets, look at this. Is if you're going to put your money any place, right, this is it. Save the nation. Save the republic. It starts with educating our sheriffs and ourselves at the same time. If we can educate 3,000 sheriffs and 3,000 people, that is huge, okay? And that's where we have to focus in on.
Is there any way to identify those sheriffs that we that I know they all need it and they all
well,
need to learn.
Well, yeah, look, it, even a sheriff that does the wrong thing needs the book. Okay, because they think, first, they don't even understand what their office is all about. They don't understand their power and authority. They don't have a backbone because they don't have knowledge. I mean, we spoke to sheriffs here in New York, and they don't know what to do because they don't have the knowledge. Or the sheriff will send us to go talk to the prosecutor in the county attorney, not the county attorney, I guess it's the prosecutor, what would you call them? In any event, the prosecutor of the county.
The DA.
The DA, district attorney. So they send us to the district attorney, and you're going to get a lawyer to uphold the common law or to go after a judge? It's not going to happen. We've tried it. It doesn't work. And so forget that. The sheriffs need to understand that it's their job. They took the oath to uphold and to protect the Constitution. If they don't understand and know the Constitution, and that's what the book delivers that point to them, then they got to learn what their powers and authorities is. Otherwise, they lied. But when they go to a lawyer to find out what the law is and they believe the lawyer, they need to leave office. Now, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's get them the book. Let them get them educated. We're going to have some evil sheriffs. We're going to have some bad people. There's no doubt about it. But even things, sheriffs that we think are bad, they're not. They don't know that they're bad, and they don't realize the problem. They think they need to go talk to the DA to figure out what to do.
Now, we have Dar, who's a constitutional sheriff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his problem is that he's running into these district attorneys
exactly.
that believe that they are the chief law enforcement officer in the county, in the land. And the thing is it's a lie from hell. They are not the chief law. They are not law enforcement officers, number one, right?
They should be in jail. They're upholding the Roman law.
But listen to me. They are officers of the court. That violates the separation of powers. They cannot be a district attorney and a chief law enforcement officer. That whole thing
right.
doesn't even make sense. Because
but nobody knows this.
Powers.
Education
well,
is going
to sheriff,
deliver this
the sheriff today. Needs to know it, and the sheriff needs to enforce it. But when you got a bunch of DAs that think that they're the chief law enforcement officer, you need a bunch of sheriffs coming against them. You don't need one sheriff. You need like three counties that come together. You need them to come in as a coalition.
Listen, all these DAs, all of these judges, whether federal or state, all of them are bar attorneys. They belong to the bar. The purpose of the bar is to destroy common law, to destroy the American way. That is the purpose. They are a communist organization. And this goes all the way back to 1776, okay, this problem. And we, you know, all of they're the minions of the New World Order. They're true believers that common law has been abrogated as if that could be possibly done, okay? They've never read the Constitution, obviously, to think that it could possibly be done. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them. And we've laid it out exactly what the powers and authorities are. We've got the Bill of Rights. We've laid it out. Don't touch this, don't touch this, and don't touch this. Okay, but they don't know anything about that. They have been schooled in the fusion of law and equity and bringing it together and calling it civil law. They've actually come out and said that. Civil law, the interpretation of the meaning of the words at a Black's Law Dictionary, Bobier's Dictionary, any dictionary you look into, civil law is Roman law, Justinian law. It's all the same thing. And these we've been told by many of the lawyers, particularly DAs, that we are under, that it is a Roman law that we're under. They think this nation was built like Rome. Okay, and that was the sort of the picture that we took to create the United States of America. Nothing could be further from the truth. We have nothing to do with Rome. But they have fused that and the idea of democracy into our nation, into the minds of the people. They've robbed us of our heritage, our knowledge of who we are, and they've placed us under municipality law, and which again is Roman law, civil law, all the same thing, in order to control us.
We need to buy them each a book, and they can read it while they're in jail.
Hey, John. John. I see.
And when they repent, we may believe them.
Listen, mm-hmm. I see Brent is in there. We got to get moving. We've been like over an hour.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I'm gonna leave it up to you here, and we've got people in the queue here.
And so we got Brent. Brent is here. Yeah, Brent. You want me to open Brent?
Yeah, yeah. What's he? You're not in. He's not in as a host.
No, he's in as a host, and he's
open. Well,
and that's probably the noises
Brent.
You've been hearing. Brent is unmuted.
Here?
I was gonna say, I hear noises from his mic. That's how I know he's here. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff, for your call, and we'll talk again.
And we got a couple people in the queue, but let's let Brent go, and then we'll do the people. All right.
Okay, Brent, you here?
Well, he's definitely there, and his mic is unmuted. It says he's been in here for 1 minute and 44 seconds. So he must have just got here. Brent. All right, I guess we could go to the next guy. But
yeah, when he connects up with the mic, then we'll go to him. Take the next call. And by the way, we got an anonymous there on the phone.
Yeah,
so click
we got
on
two,
that.
We had two of them, but no, Cody's next. I opened him by accident and shut him, so I'm going to open him back up.
Okay.
Okay, so Cody, you are on.
I don't even see Cody.
Oh, hey.
There
good
you
evening,
go.
Gentlemen.
Good evening.
I understand that Parler is the new social media that all the conservatives are going to.
I heard that, but I don't know. Where is that? What is that? Parler.
It's P-A-R-L-E-R. And
yeah.
Supposedly Dan Bongino and some other people are invested in it. And with all the Facebook censoring going on.
See, we need to get a book to Dan Bongino because he would get the message out if he read through
the
book.
Well, if he's got a platform, we should use it. Dan Bongino's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that's why right now they're not the app actually works. See, with Gab, I think what happened with Gab is they had a lot of Nazi stuff going on their website that they were tolerating, and they've been so blackballed by the big tech that they can't get their app on the App Store. But apparently Parler, I just downloaded it today just to make sure I have it in case they did X them off of it. But, you know, the one thing to consider is it's more targeted to patriots and conservatives if you start promoting. Also on Brighteon, that's that Mike Adams website, video website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot of people use it, but, you know, he still has a lot of exposure. It's free to, you know, put the videos on there. But
I'm telling you, I think that this stuff is going to go exponential because right now people are looking, and you're going to see things like Mike Adams and Bongino's site. Now's the time for them to target because it could explode. People are fed up.
Well, absolutely. And like I said, I hadn't played with it yet, but Owen Schroyer, you know, he's the host there on InfoWars or the afternoon host, and he's doing that caravan from Austin to Houston, up down through Tallahassee, and then up through Georgia and all the way to D.C. And they're using Parler to kind of organize that. So that thing's going to take off really well.
See, we have all these people that are, you know, involved in something, and these people really need to be focusing in on consent of government and how to have it. And as Trump said, and this is the key point of communications of these people, that Trump wants to give you the power. He said, I was elected not to take power, but to give power back to the people where it belongs. So in order to take that power, what do you think it is that you need to think or know to take that power? People are they have no words because they don't know. I mean, they may say, yeah, I get out and have a good vote that counts. Well, that's just that doesn't control your government. You know, they think it does, but it doesn't. We've got to control our government.
Well, especially not when they got the voting machines all screwed up.
Yeah.
Well, Trump is to blame for not taking all this more serious. For example, he knew all this censorship was going on. Why did he keep using Twitter? Besides the fact that who knows legally what he could do to them, if not even send the military for subversion,
he
should have switched to his own platform or another platform, and the thing would have took off.
Yeah, but the thing, you got to get after the people.
Look, I think part of his plan was to let Twitter overstep and do what they
exactly.
did. Exactly.
Let the people see.
Look, he says, let them see. That's right. You can tell them.
It may cost him the election. We'll see what happens.
It's not going to.
This way, look, there was two very liberal girls that worked for Fox News, and I mean they worked like on the soundboard and different things, and they were so liberal. And they my daughter bartends, and they came into the bar, and they both been red pilled, and they said, we can't believe what we used to believe in. We used to like Biden. I kissed him. She said, I thought he was cute. She says, and I'm so creeped out now. And my daughter said, they're so red-pilled and they're so disgusted with the whole thing. And you know why it is? It's because they went so far. They overstayed. You know, the old trick used to be, two steps forward, one step backwards. Well, one step backwards is no more. They want blood. And they've been going forward.
Marxists. They know nothing else but violence.
They've showed their true colors. And they've let me tell you something. They've lost more Democrats, more blacks, more Latinos. They even lost trans people and homosexual people. All these cannot stand them. And now if you ask them who they're voting for, they're not going to tell you they're voting for Trump. But guess what? I got an article that I did on Patriot Soapbox, and this one woman got this lady who was bisexual or whatever, and she said, I'm voting for Trump because Trump has fixed everything for me. I think the economy's better. She says, everything he's doing, I like. So what's it got to do whether I'm trans or bi or anything? She says, he has no agenda against those people, really. He's not doing anything specific against them. He's very tolerable.
Well, he's hiring a bunch of them, and that's an abomination according to the Bible. So
I understand.
No, that's only in religion. There's nothing to do in the world. You can't restrict a woman from doing things that they want to do. I mean, but look, it is true, women basically are mothers and housewives and so on. But a lot of women want to get that career. You can't say no to them, but it's not a sin. It's not the God.
I'm talking about the gays and bisexuals, that we're putting in. We have people that are confused sexually. We put them in positions of power.
Yeah, so you make them
mayors. How do we know their minds are not as confused as their bodies?
They're marrying men, and I mean,
it's all about morals. Look, it's all about morals. Believe it or not, there are gay people out there that have morals. Okay, look, we're all sinners, so let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So the thing is look, what's his name is gay.
What happened?
Okay. Well, they threw us all off. They're a glitch in the system, probably. I mean, I don't want to get paranoid here.
They didn't like our discussion. We were getting too hot and heavy here. That's it. You guys went too far.
Terry, are you here yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you the one that's been uploading things on
I've already downloaded this one as A, and I'll put it with part B when we...
Okay, yeah, good. or you can find someone to confuse the two together. They're MP3s, so...
I can put those together. MP3s I can handle.
Yeah.
Cody, yeah. I'm going to ask you to make a list of these things that you're, and maybe send them to in an email to Jan or myself or somebody, because maybe we should even put them up on the site, John, so people know.
Well, again, we need someone to organize this and to bring the information, put it together, write some stuff up, and then I'll make sure it gets posted. But I can't do all that. So
no,
if you want to organize that, maybe look at anybody who wants to try to get the word out, and that should be everybody coming into this program.
Look at all okay. We need is a little blurb on our video site that if you want to put videos, you try these services because they're independent. That's all. It's not a big deal. And list Bryceon and what the other ones he said, because I didn't write them down. I know I won't remember them.
There is a service called Restream, I think, .io. And that's what all these people that do a lot of a lot of the live broadcasting use. That it'll not continuously, but at the same time it's constant. It'll download to Facebook and YouTube and all these at the same time. So I'm sure that these other sites, they probably interface with them also, and that may be the simplest way to not have to take a lot of time re-uploading. Or you could probably upload a video and let that service, I'm sure. It may only be done live, but I would assume you could probably use that where it would automatically post it, too. That might be something to save a lot of time.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, look, at everybody in here, we got lots of people with lots of different talent. People have to, take the initiative and start doing it, Ollie's doing some great work up there, and he needs help. And if anybody's
we need leaders. We need leaders. We need lots of leaders.
Look, if anybody's up there in Colorado next to Ollie, he could mentor somebody. He's got such a fantastic studio there. It's unbelievable. Anybody that's into video stuff, you give your IT for what he's got there.
What's the name of his YouTube channel? You guys have mentioned it before.
He's got videosanctuary.com. Which has all these banned videos that we've downloaded and saved and put up there. Okay. When that Millie video first came out, we had it captured and thrown up there right away. We didn't even ask her. We just did it. You know what I mean? And we figured, what's she going to do? Complain? They got her in jail, and we put her video up.
Right.
Right. So, and the other one is Q17news.com. So, he's got them separated out. Like the video sanctuary is a lot of the COVID stuff that was banned and all that. And then the
what Q7, was that other one? Q what?
Q17.news.
.com or .news?
I think it's...
Unless they added a .news, I don't know.
Q17.
Yeah, there is a .news, I think.
.com.
Yeah, was it Q? Wait a minute. Was it Q17news.com? That's what it is. I switched them. I'm dyslexic. Don't listen to me.
Are you guys familiar with Revolver.news? That's the new conservative version of Drudge.
No, I'm not. Revolver.news. See, you gave me so much stuff, I don't know when I'm going to check all this out. and then I get distracted listening. Oh, that's good. And I spend an hour and I don't want to spend 5 minutes,
Yeah, anyway. All right, well, thanks a lot. Have a good evening, you guys.
Thanks, Cody. We appreciate it. Okay. Well, we got more people. Well, I was going to let Brent go. If he's there. I don't know. If he was there.
Yeah, Brent, you here?
I don't... He's open. Says he's a host. Hostess with the mostest. But I don't hear him. Let me turn on and off a minute. Maybe he'll hear it.
Well, he was having problems with his mic. He said he was talking, but nobody could hear him.
We
hear you now. We hear something as you're moving around. Start talking and see if we can hear you.
All right, well, let's start taking calls while we're waiting for Brent. Brent, when you get your mic fixed, just pipe in here, and we'll turn things over to you for a while. But meanwhile, let's take on some next callers here. Thanks a lot, Cody.
No problem.
Okay, the whole screen has changed. I'm just going to go next because I don't know where we are. But it says New London, Connecticut. I don't know.
Well, you just click on the first one.
Oh, now it says Kelly from Ohio.
It went
the reverse. Go ahead, Kelly. You're open.
Hi, Don. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
All right, yep. We can.
Okay. I'm wanting to know what those of us who've done the joinder and received the decision and order are supposed to do when we are continually being harassed by not necessarily CPS, but the court system itself. retaliating against us.
Well, this is the problem we have, and we're not going to do any more decision and orders. We're going to move in a different direction. Mm-hmm. We have a different plan. We're looking for a friendly judge. There are some people down in New York City that I know Lydia particularly is one of the individuals that runs a lot of stuff down there. And she kind of works with us a little. I'd like to get a little more active with us. But in any event, I got to connect with her because she's got some information and a potential judge that we can take things to. And and they can take a look at this. And you know, I don't have enough information yet. Let me just lay it there. But there is a way. There is a thing that we're trying to do. Also, it's time to push the indictments hard. And so all these judges that have not, and we've indicted quite a few of them already, but not all of them, but we have to package together all the judges that we've indicted and other individuals that we've indicted, package it up, get it out to bar for execution. And that'll happen in his timing because we can't, you know, there are things going on that he needs to do first. And so they'll work it out in their own timing. And we should hope that he would anyway. But if we can get another judge to pipe into the courts and put them under, there is a process where if you go to another judge, especially one on the appellate level, that is friendly, they got 3 days to respond, and then so when they break their own rules and laws, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. They're breaking their rules and laws, and they're violating common law.
Yes, they are.
And they're denying us access. They're covering up common law courts.
Well, they're not even following their own procedures.
No, they don't even do that. I know.
Because they're so used to being no consequences, but that's going to end shortly.
Yes. They're so used to people just taking it and people not standing up. I could stand there and quote the law all day. It doesn't faze
the
judge.
Well, let me tell you something. The sleeping giant is awake, and they've got a rude awakening coming very shortly here in the next few weeks.
We need a lot of people, more people. We need everyone to get involved and volunteer their time. I mean, there are things I need to do, and I can't do it because I'm too involved in other things. And this thing here, the next move here is very important. Okay, to move all of these joinder cases to a point where we can start to get some kind of justice.
Well, the hard thing is those of us with CPS cases are you know, suffering from post-traumatic stress, and the children are, and we have so many things that we have to clean up that CPS messed up, like my child's medical appointments.
Well, we should do indicting these people. That's part of our plan.
And you know, the other thing is you can double prong this too. If you, I don't know where you're at or anything, but you know, if you had a constitutional sheriff that was brave, he could help you a lot too.
Did we do a habeas corpus or a joinder? Because with family court, we should have done a habeas corpus.
She said a joinder, but
I know we should have been doing a habeas corpus, not a joinder on this.
I think we should
move. Talk to Jim about doing a habeas corpus, and let's move it that way. Because for anybody whose children has been taken, that's incarceration. Or anybody who is being controlled by the court, that's incarceration. Even if you're going home at the end of the day, you still got to come back another day for court, and they keep you there, and they're forcing you into their process. It's all incarceration. Ultimately.
Kelly, are you in Ohio, Kelly? Is she still there? Did we lose her? Oh, why is she? She's muted. What happened? Hang on.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, you were muted. I don't know what's up.
Yes, I'm in Ohio, and my children did come home at the disposition hearing, but I was coerced into an agreement to allow CPS supervision, and the judge won't close the case. There's no basis to keep it open. I have CPS worker documentation on that myself.
We could do a habeas corpus to release your children.
Actually,
because they have no authority. They have
no
authority, no power. And we send that to the federal court, and if that federal judge doesn't do the right thing, then we indict that judge.
This might be a perfect timing for that too, John.
Of course.
I'm not sure how to file it, but I think I can learn, and if somebody could help me.
No, we'll do the paperwork for you. If you've got a joinder in, we'll do the paperwork for you.
And you file it from the point of the grand jury sending it. instead of waiting for a judge to
approve. We'll do it for you. That's the point. We'll do all the paperwork for you. We'll show you to do the affidavit. We'll file the papers for you requesting for habeas corpus, and then we'll do the approval for the habeas corpus, pass it on to a federal judge, and appoint a federal judge to hear the case and deal with it accordingly, according to law. And, you know, we've got all that paperwork. We just have to bring it together for you. You should have been really a habeas corpus.
I have a December court hearing, December 22nd, and I truly believe they're trying to dig up stuff after they said that they wanted to close the case. The judge didn't close the case, but they're trying to dig up a bone that doesn't exist. Kind of like double jeopardy in a criminal trial, but this is civil. Yes.
It's all RICO.
You want to get your habeas corpus in before that hearing if you can, and it shouldn't take that long to do. Hold it.
Maybe it's the other way around, but what do you feel about this court hearing? Do you think they're going to try to take your children away?
Yes, I do, and I believe the
court
then
habeas
involved.
Corpus is in the order.
Yeah, no, and she needs to do it before they have the hearing. You know, you're in a boxing ring, and you gotta be very forward. You know, I mean, if you can get them to rock back, you hit them again, but you got to take that one punch. And I think if you give them the habeas corpus, that's gonna kick them back a little bit. They're not expecting that.
Here's what you need to do, okay? Just let Jim know you want to do a habeas corpus. He's got most of the information. He shouldn't need much more from you. Maybe a different way of focusing in on the affidavit. Maybe not. Maybe your affidavit will do fine that you already have. But here's the key thing, and we want to focus in on. I haven't got time to do it, and I think the people who want to get this situation done needs to do this research. You need to go on online and look into the federal district that you're in. Get a list of all the judges, okay? Now, we have a list of all the judges, and I'm going to post that list. I'm just thinking about doing it right now. So I'll post that list of all the federal judges that Trump has appointed. And let us pick Trump's appointees as to bring the habeas corpus before them, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll indict them, too. It doesn't matter. If they're not going to do the right thing and hear the case and they're going to just lay it aside and not do anything, that's a violation of law. It's worthy of an indictment.
Well, yeah, because if CPS doesn't have any concerns, there's nothing for the prosecutor or the judge to do.
No, exactly. It's like Flynn when they said release him and the judge doesn't release him. That's ridiculous.
That's my thought.
You know, you're having the same problem.
They don't even know their powers. Look at the United. You know who's at fault here in all this? The United States Supreme Court. They are the problem. They are the problem. Those nine people up there are the problem. Now we got three new people up there. They're kind of new. We got to give them a little bit of an appreciation here. But look at, they are the problem. We've already reported to them that common law has been abrogated according to you guys, okay? Back in the past, we laid it all out. That you can't abrogate the common law by what power or authority? By rule? Rule 2? You can do that? No, you can't do that. The Congress can't even do that. There's nobody in the world that can break that covenant between we the people and God, and then we the people and the United States, ultimately the governments. You know, But they stay quiet, and silence is fraud when they have a duty to speak. Any bureaucrat that you go to that has the duty to speak, okay, on a situation, and they remain silent, that's fraud, okay? And the United States Supreme Court has ruled that numerous times, by the way. So fraud is, silence is fraud when they have a duty to speak, period.
Right.
And they do have a duty to speak. And they don't. They remain silent. The IRS remains silent. All these judges remain silent. It's just so sickening. And,
John,
RICO and steroids.
John, are you hearing me now?
I'm hearing you.
Oh, well, I've been silent for a long time, too, and it's time I said something, I think.
Yep, go right ahead. why don't we just continue with conversations and go right ahead. Say what you want.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to just say a few words. Somebody sent me, and I don't remember who I get so much stuff. Somebody sent me the complaint filed in Wayne County, Michigan, concerning the fraud in the election, and I thought I'd just read part of it here, or what was interesting. It's all interesting. This is the Great Lakes Justice Center, State of Michigan, filed in the Circuit Court for the County of Wayne. And it's complaint defendants, of course. They've got them all listed here, but their names you wouldn't know. I don't know them either. I just know they're big shots. Somebody important in government is supposed to be in charge of elections. And it says, comes now plaintiffs, Cheryl Costantino. Cheryl Costantino and Edward P. McCall, Jr., by their attorneys, Great Lakes Justice Center, respectfully request pursuant to MCR 3.31B that this honorable court issue an ex parte temporary restraining order and an order, well, a restraining order. Neither defendant, ex parte means we're not even going to notify the other side. We don't have time. We got to have a temporary restraining order to restrain the madness. It says neither defendant election workers nor officials ever verified the signature of absentee ballot before ballots before processing. Ballots were removed from secrecy sleeves before deciding how to process the ballot. Exhibit A.
Yeah, by the way, I heard, Brent, I heard that if the envelope is not with the ballot, then it's got to be thrown out.
Yes, and that's my understanding, too.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot here that I didn't know about
too.
Election. But unsecured absentee ballots arrived at the TCH Center loading garage, unsecured, not in sealed ballot boxes, without any chain of custody, and without envelopes, Exhibit E. After election officials announced the last absentee ballots had been received, another batch of unsecured and unsealed ballots without envelopes arrived in trays. There were approximately 40,000 of these ballots, and every ballot was counted orally and attributed only to Democratic candidates, Exhibit C. Defendants instructed election officials and workers to process absentee ballots that appeared after the election deadline and to falsify reports that these ballots had been received prior to 3 November 2020 deadline. Defendant election officials and workers refused to record challenges to their processes and removed challengers from the site after they politely voiced a challenge. Exhibit A. After poll challengers started discovering the fraud taking place at the center, defendant election officials and workers locked credentialed challengers out of the counting room so they could not observe the process. Defendant election officials and workers allowed absentee ballots to be duplicated by hand without allowing poll challengers to check if the duplication was accurate.
Excuse me, Brent, what state is this in?
This is in Wayne County, Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
In fact, defendant election officials and workers repeatedly obstructed poll 4 center challengers from observing. Thousands of ballots were filled out by hand on site without oversight from poll challengers. For the reasons stated in plaintiff's complaint and attached affidavits, defendants fraudulently manipulated the November 2020 election results in Wayne County, Michigan. And it goes on, you can imagine, it gets worse about, of course, then they subpoena computer records, documents, hypervisor logs. I mean, they got it all here. Bottom line, this is what happened all over the country. I know you've heard, maybe you haven't heard, but in the urban areas, Trump was winning when the election closed. Then all of a sudden, Trump was winning almost all the ballots were in. He was winning by wide margins.
700,000 votes in Pennsylvania alone when they went dark at 4 o'clock in the morning. They seemed to have recovered from that.
That's what I'm understanding. All of a sudden, all these ballots appear and revealed that up to 88% voter turnout in these urban areas, and all of the votes, hundreds of thousands, coming in after the election polls were closed, were Democrat votes. This is without shame. It's obvious what is going on.
It's and statistically impossible.
That's a good way of putting it. Nice phrase. It is,
impossible.
As Edward Dirksen, Everett Dirksen said, a terminological inexactitude.
There you go.
Yeah. that. That's a nice way of saying these are a bunch of low-down, black-hearted liars. That's a nice way of saying it.
How do they think they're going to prevail on this? And, I mean, that's why Trump let them go, because he knows that he let them push it to a point that it became utterly ridiculous.
The people need to see.
That's right.
Because the people are too ignorant to all this stuff. The people need to see. And they are seeing. They're waking up. They're in pain from all the crap that they've been going on for the past year.
That girl that kissed Biden, she couldn't wipe her lips. Enough sign. She was just so disgusted. I can't believe I kissed him, you know. And these were girls that were like 100% in that field, you know what I mean? And they've woken up because of this ridiculousness.
Can I insert something real quick? A piece of news I just got from Eric Trump, and it says that a system glitch also uncovered in Wisconsin, reversal of swap votes, removes the lead from Joe Biden. Reading, it removed the lead in that county, but it brought it down to a toss-up again in Wisconsin. So I'm hopeful.
Well, let me tell you something that's been around for quite some time, and especially, you know, the printers are really, really, they really can do really beautiful printing, you know, these days, the color printing. And as a matter of fact, if you try to print a dollar bill, it won't print it, okay? In fact, I tried to do that just to see what happened. It wouldn't print the dollar bill. And but the thing is that any kind of a paper that you print off of your printer, okay, that printer has an identification number, and of course they know who bought that printer. And on anything that you print out, I've been told that they have something that is in the paper, embedded in the paper, so that they can trace a piece of paper right back to the printer and then to the owner of that printer. I understand they did something like that. I know people are calling it watermark or something like that. But I understand they did that with the ballots. Now, I also heard that people saying, oh, they can't do that because the states print them out. Now, it may be true that the states print it out, but I don't think they get total control on that when it's a federal election. Better if it's a federal election, and I think the federal government the feds have to be involved in that. So the printing of those ballots may have to have gone through a certain process. But I'm hearing that there is some kind of an identification in these ballots. So if someone was to have created these things, like China's good at duplicating things, they wouldn't be able to create I'll call it a watermark, but I don't know what it is.
Well, there is watermarks on them, but the other story was...
No, but these are hidden ones. These are ones that are hidden.
Well, you need infrared to see it, the watermark. You can't just read it. But the other thing that they claimed, that I don't know if it's true or not, but they claimed it, they said it was also printed with a non-radioactive isotope that they could read them from a distance, which means you could walk up to a box of ballots and put the wand over, and if it doesn't beep, you just throw the whole box out, because it means none of them are valid. Now, I don't know if that's true, but the other thing is I know for a fact that when Obama was in office, he turned and made an executive order that made Homeland Security the chief, I don't know what you want to call it, officer of securing the elections. So the first thing Trump did, because he's so good at using their laws against them, is he made the executive order that said you will use a special ink, you will use this, you will put a watermark, and I can see him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, also what's interesting is that certain people, I understand the markers, because they bleed through the paper, it gets discarded when it goes through the machine. So your vote doesn't count if you use the marker on that, in opposed to a pen, and I guess maybe a pencil.
Well, I don't know. We use markers on ours, but I think that sheet.
I thought that that's what we did, but I don't. I got to think about
that. That sheet that they got is not paper. It's like plastic almost. That thing that you mark off, that's not really paper. And they always gave us Sharpies. And I read something today that kind of debunked that whole marker thing. I don't know. And
I know somebody just right up here out of Poughkeepsie here. And he can't vote. He's not registered to vote or anything, but he went down to vote, and he says he got in there, and he voted, and he went through. They didn't check his name. You know, when I went in to vote, they you know, you have to go to where you're at. They look at your signature, and you have to sign.
Yeah, how can they just let him go through and
just let him go through. Let him go through.
And what name was on the ballot?
That was in Poughkeepsie.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, he went into the voting poll and voted.
And he did it as an experiment?
Yeah, well,
did he vote for Trump or Biden? That's
well,
what I
yeah, he voted for Trump.
Oh, so Trump, we know one illegal vote for Trump.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, back to you, Brent.
If we only would have known, John, we would have got a bunch of homeless people up there. I'm
Brent,
sorry.
Go ahead.
You guys are doing such a good job. One guy playing the straight man. Man. I'm glad you're recording this. This is a good one. You guys are on top of it. You know, these are those times when everything falls together for people. But things are crazy. We may as well be laughing. I just
yeah,
want
well,
to
otherwise you cry.
Yeah, no sense doing that. And we know that evil will fall of its own weight in time. And that's what I pray is happening here. And I know in all events that there's no sense being discouraged because God is sovereign, utterly sovereign, and we, whatever he does, he's going to, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. And,
amen.
And yeah, and that doesn't say all things are good, it just all things work together to come together for
and
good.
And it may be a lot of bad things.
Yeah. I mean,
look, even our wrongs that we've done in our past and we look back and repent of them, you know, that's a lesson in itself, so they all work together.
Yeah, I mean, only God can make a straight lick with a crooked stick, and he's got plenty of them to work with mm-hmm. us. And only God can take the most horrendous act of mankind, the murder of God himself in human form, and turn that to our ultimate benefit. And he did that too. So we haven't got anything to worry about. We know we've already won. All we got to do is enjoy the victory. It's already done. And the further this thing goes, the more rope that people are given, and the more they'll expose themselves for what they really are. Well, just to talk about, which apparently you've already done, I just wanted to talk about Wayne County a little bit. That was Detroit, by the way. That's the Detroit area. You know, Detroit has gone down. When I was a teenager, there were over 2 million people living in that county. And that's when the automobile industry was at its heyday, and now it's down to about 1.5 million, something like that. And it's a depressed area, of course. And that's where the votes are coming from. They're claiming that they're not votes at all. This is obviously fraud. And I don't know how other people feel. I just feel like when they get to the point, and I say this from the examples of history, when a government gets to the point that they're so rotten, so dirty, so low, so ugly, at some point people will just say, I don't care anymore. And people used to say to the Roman emperor when he'd walk to work in the morning in Rome when the empire was crumbling, people would see him and say, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the Lateran Palace to commence work. And they'd say, why don't you just forget it? Nobody cares anymore. and that's how the Roman empire crumbled. But that's what the evil empire and the evil one, the useful idiots of it, want to happen here. They want people just to say, crawl, to get their ammunition, get their guns, crawl off into the woods and say, I'm waiting for them to come after me. Now, there is a time to do that. But on the other hand, don't ever get to the point, even if you have to do that. And that could happen. But as Jesus Christ said, you see these things coming, Matthew 24, head for the hills. But that doesn't mean you don't care anymore. The truth of the matter is, and it is not the ideal that we must hold on to as much as it is the land we must hold on to. God wants us to be committed to this land. He doesn't want us to be committed to the government. He doesn't even want us to be committed to the people in the government or Americans in general, as important as all that is. But ultimately, the ultimate concern here is loyalty to land. That's what God says. That's why we call it patriotism, fatherland. in the Anglo-Saxon tongue, motherland, it's called in the French tongue, and but it's fatherland, and we learned that from history of World War II, and the Germans called their land the fatherland. Well, that part of it's biblical. That's really true. God has given us a land, and there are people, of course, that have organized to try to pollute our land by through lawlessness, through the bloodiness of abortion and the bloodiness of foreign wars and the bloodiness of sodomy and lesbianism and all the ugliness that goes with that. Well, the maker of the land says that pollutes his land, and by the way, he won't tolerate it. He won't tolerate it, and if that's what's going to happen, it's our duty to speak out regardless of the consequences. How committed are you to the land that God is, the Lord your God has given you? That's the question. We know that we can't depend on each other. We can't trust each other any more than we could trust ourselves. But we are to trust the God that made us, and we are to be committed to being good caretakers of the land he has given us, and all that we have comes from the land. We don't have anything else. Everything we have, every benefit in life, is from land that the maker of land, the allodial landlord, gives to men. Well, that's enough for me to talk tonight, and my opinions are my own, and they may or may not comport with National Liberty Alliance, and if they don't, they'll probably tell you. But right now, this is just me, Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. Join us in the morning, by the way, and join Gerard on the day after on Wednesday mornings on Patriot Soapbox. You can go to Patriot Soapbox and get on, or you can go to the website commonlawyer.com and go to the events button. I think there's a link down there where you can click and get on Patriot Soapbox and listen to me jabber on Tuesdays and listen to Gerard jabber on Gerard and Ollie. Ollie's on there with Gerard. I don't want to forget him. He's got the most unusual and fascinating green screens, and you can see all of his creative work and his green screens that look real. They aren't real, but it makes it look like he's sitting out in the wilderness someplace.
Yeah, or in the Riviera.
Yeah. He gets around.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay, but anyhow, thank you, Gerard and John, and I'll get off.
I just want to say you made a perfect argument against land tax. Hear, hear. National Liberty Alliance, this part of it, agrees with you as far as the land, and why should the government tax us in our land if we own it? They got no right to tax us because then it's not our land. So this is a big stickler with me. It's, you know, and so what do they got to do? All they got to do is keep raising the taxes, and pretty soon they drive you off your land, right?
Yeah, so, if it's that bad where I live, and you may as well be making house payments as high as taxes are.
It's ridiculous, and that's something we need to fix, you know. I mean, California tried to fix it because the property tax went up so fast over there, and they had all these retired people on fixed income getting kicked out of their houses, and it got to the point where it was just ridiculous, and they came up with, I forget what it was, Proposition 13 or something, and what they did was, is if you were retired and you were in your house for a certain length of time, they could not raise your land tax anymore. So at least that was somewhat of a release. But I don't believe they should be able to tax it, period. They should not be taking that from the people that are landowners. You know, years ago, you couldn't be an elector unless you own land. You know, and I don't think that was such a bad idea.
No.
But anyway, I'll shut up now. That's my opinion.
No, I'm with you. I was in California when Prop 13 came down. I lived there many years ago now, and I remember in the news they were saying, if you do this, the whole state's going to fall apart. All the fire departments will be shut down.
Yeah, scare tactics.
Oh, man, yeah. And then, of course, they did it. And I remember the public library. I was in Long Beach at the time. The public library cut their hours back a couple hours in the evening. That went on for about 2 weeks, and then they were right back where they were, and everything went to normal, and it's been that way ever since. But I'm with you. Cutting it in half was a good step, but to tax land is to the power to tax is the power to destroy.
they're usurping their, yeah, their authority. Yeah. They really are. They don't have that power, and we should never let them have it. Anyway, that's good. All of a sudden, 3 hours is not enough. We're on a roll here.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Anyway, we're going to move ahead here. So, I don't know if John had anything to say, but we have...
Nope, just go right on. Next caller.
Okay, next caller. I don't know who this is. New London, Connecticut?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Good evening.
I am Don't Tread on Me with the National Liberty Alliance. I'm online tonight on this website. And I wanted to say thank you very much. I had some great news for you. I know you're discussing how you can promote National Liberty Alliance. And after about 15 years of National Liberty Alliance, I just got my receipt from National Liberty Alliance from Carl for my $5 a month donation that I'll be doing, and that's good news. I wanted to let you know that I appreciate everything, but what I don't think people realize is that oppression is so very real in the United States for, you know, where we used to be middle class people. People are being conditioned to such a great degree. As a matter of fact, in Connecticut right now, there's kind of like a curfew of 10 p.m. now. It just started 4 days ago.
Really?
And yes. And the good news is that I'm not in Connecticut anymore. I'm in Texas.
Yeah. Well, that was so a good move.
Well, I by the grace of God, I'm here. I would have lost my life in the state of Connecticut, where I was born and raised and believed in the Constitution state. But nothing is going by the Constitution in the Constitution state. And I mean, there are no sheriffs in the state of Connecticut.
Right.
And...
Right, we plan on doing a lawsuit on that soon, because there are 8 counties there, and there's 7 counties in New York, which is all southern, you know, the 5 boroughs of New York City. Westchester County doesn't have sheriffs, and one of the counties out in Long Island doesn't have a sheriff that's elected anyway. They may have sheriffs, but they're not elected. And yeah, Connecticut's got 8 counties, and they don't have sheriffs. What we want to do, and there's another state that has the same problem. I don't remember what it was.
Alaska has something different. They're not.
Alaska doesn't have any sheriffs at all.
Right.
Right. And this needs to be repaired. We need to do something about this. So it is on our agenda to do something, but now is not the time. We got way too many other battles to fight first and win before we can even attempt those. But once we win the big battles, then we should be able to win all these other battles quite quickly.
Okay, I also wanted to state that my vote happened in Tarrant County, Texas. There was no bubbles to put your pen on. It was done by a computer. I did not like that. I told them right away that I didn't believe in it because I didn't have my hand or my power of pencil, pen, or whatever. There was no power in the pen or pencil on the ballot. It was all done by a computer, which I totally disagreed with. I don't know if it was Matrix, but I didn't believe in it. I did it, but I didn't believe in it, and I felt like you should know about this.
I went on back and cut some stuff.
There's some bleed back here, and I'm not sure who that is from.
So the ballot was not done by the power of the pen. The ballot was done by a computer that printed out your whoever you pick, and then it was sent into another computer.
And well, ballot, I know Trump is, Trump, at the end of the day, Trump is going to revamp the entire election system. That's what he's pushing for. It's got to be
reset. They got to go paper ballots. It's ridiculous.
Exactly what she's talking about, yeah.
Look, we have two different problems with computer software. One of them comes from George Soros's company. Why would you hire George Soros's company to make your computer, you know, write your computer code, which
well,
I understand.
Well, that's a Democratic plan. So.
Right. So they leave the code open with a decimal, which makes it very easy for them to move the decimal instead of an integer, because anybody that programs knows if you put an integer in, it's harder to hack. And they actually set it up for hacking. And the other one comes from some Chinese company. Why would we hire China? They made the whole machine China, and it's got China software in it. And I guarantee you they got back doors to get in there, and that's how they did this, because they got all these chips and stuff that they bought from China, and I'm sure they instructed China, or China just did it, you know, in conjunction with them to you know, at a certain point to flip the votes. They just, you know, they got out of hand, and they got caught because they had to win, and Trump had such a wave that they had to put more in to beat him, and they ended up going over the amount of registered voters. Imagine that. So
also the voter ballot, when it was printed out, had the name of a judge on the back of it, as though that judge is responsible for the ballot itself. I'm not really sure, but I wanted to point that out.
I didn't know that. That's something I didn't hear.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
I actually want to go to the voting location, not the voting location, but the place where I can remove my vote now. Not my vote, but my next voting. Like, I'm kind of objecting to their process. I'm not sure how I can object to it, because I feel that the power of the pen...
Well, that's all controlled by the Board of Election in your county. Every county has a Board of Election, and that's where the control of this whole thing takes place, and that's where it has to be revamped. You know, and again, listen, if the people stepped up and became committeemen, we wouldn't have this problem. It wouldn't
exist.
That's right,
yeah. Yeah, because the committeemen could control it. The board
Absolutely. They take total control of the whole process. Well, they're actually as observers, okay?
Right.
And because there are people that are actually hired, but to the observers need to be more involved, and that's the committeemen. And right now, the people that are controlling the party, they're claiming to be the committeemen. Those are the people throwing people out. They're not elected people. These people are tyrants in the sense of what's going on in Detroit and Philadelphia and other places.
Well, I did vote all red, and I really believe. But right now, I'm kind of boycotting any news media. I want nothing to do with any of them, because they're trying to say that the other party, Biden, is officially the president, and he's not.
Yeah, and who gave them the authority? That's not who declares the election. It's not the news media. What are they doing? What are they doing announcing that? That's a crime in itself. What they're doing. That's election. That's election tampering when they declare a winner, when you still have states that aren't even done, they're in a court battle or whatever. You can't declare a winner.
I also postmarked today to the Supreme Court for a recount. I also called, left a message, and I also went on the actual Supreme Court website where I could actually email the Supreme Court and requested a recount. Those are the three things that I personally did.
That's a good idea. Everybody should do that. We should get their email flooded with requests for, you know,
redo. I've already got a response back that they received it. And it's
good.
But I also sent it out in handwriting, because I don't have, that's the problem that people don't realize. We don't have resources. I don't have a printer. You know, basically, I do have a job in the state of Texas. I am so grateful to be fully employed. I use public transportation. I spend 3 hours one way to get to work and 3 hours back.
Wow.
I don't want food stamps, but the state of Connecticut oppresses people so much. Once you hit 40, they've got you streamlined to fall right into the socialist system. If you're 40 years old, they're going to rob every cent you've ever made. They are...
Well, that problem is in every state. It's not just there. New York, we all have that problem. It's a corrupt courts.
It's corrupt. Baby boomers are being robbed of pensions from the industry of old. They're never going to see their pensions. They're never going to see... If you're on Social Security and you get a check, they focus on people on Social Security because they abuse their money, their tax money. Because a lot of people, they don't really, you know, they get their check, they cash their check, and they've got cash. And they're abused by the social system. And all I can say is that, you know, we're coming up on Veterans Day here on Wednesday. And I want to say that the people of Blue Water and the Agent Orange and the veterans and the military persons who passed away, who never had their voice, I want to say a prayer for them, that I'm thinking of them at this time with National Liberty Alliance, because they mattered. And it isn't until this year, January 2020, that it's ever been acknowledged and that there's something going to happen for the survivors of the terrible Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Gerard, there's a lot of noise coming in, from your mic, I guess. I don't know what it is. Are you hearing anything on your end? It's like a washing. I don't know. It's a strange sound. I muted you for a second and unmuted you, and the noise disappeared.
How about now?
Yep, big difference. There it is. It just came back.
Oh, well, I have a heater on blowing on me because it's cold in here, and the fan was blowing.
That's what we've been hearing, yeah.
Yeah, but I just shut it off. And you said it came in.
Well, I'm still hearing it now, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Can you imagine those who have suffered from Agent Orange and their families all suffered without a voice?
Mm-hmm.
And their condition, which would imagine to emotionally, you know, just show a little bit of support for our veterans coming up and our the people.
Well, you know, they've succeeded in outwaiting them and letting them die because they waited.
Exactly.
I mean, you're talking about how many years ago now? You're going almost 50 years.
Exactly.
And those people are no longer. They got out of it because they waited till they died. You know what I mean? And
who's going to get that money? Who's going to get that money that the family?
Well, it should go to their families. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It should go to whoever's left. And don't forget that Agent Orange went down into the kids. It was passed on genetically. It was horrible stuff. You know.
Wow.
So even some of the kids suffered later on because of, you know, the mutations from it. And you know. That's a horrible thing that the government did, that they ignored it and just waited till they all died off, which is a lot of times they do with big industry and corporations. That's the game they play. And the other thing is the news media, by their silence, has done more damage than the lies they told. Because when you don't report something and nobody knows it, and that's why these people wanted to change their vote for Biden, because they didn't have all the information before they voted.
And exactly, and that's why.
And that's worse than giving false information, because at least if you got false and if you got right information and you got false information, now you can sit there and you can make a decision. But when they completely shut something up, and I mean they're vicious now. Look at they deleted all Trump's tweets. They should not. How do they got the power to do that? Why would we even stand for such a thing? I don't care what he's saying.
But he's letting them go so the people can.
I understand. It's ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine? This is the president of the United States. I don't care if you think that he's the biggest jerk. As a matter of fact, if you think he's the biggest jerk, I should be able to read that and make my decision that he's the biggest jerk. Who are they to say that we're not going to put this out there, you know?
Well, I certainly believe that our president, Donald J. Trump, and the administration had everything to do with making even the VA.gov website for all veterans, all military personnel, a better, confident website and can have, you know, their concerns addressed.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful.
Well, he's
for that.
Done a lot of good things, no doubt. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a great accomplishment. But once again, because of the oppression for 15 years, that it's been heavy on my heart that I couldn't donate anything to the National Liberty Alliance. And I believe the National Liberty Alliance should have an app, an application app. That could be what everybody could have right in their hands.
Well, what do you mean an application app for what?
For NLA.
I'm ignorant to apps, so, I mean, as far as on the phones and stuff, because I don't have a smartphone.
Yeah, you know, you just click on the app, and then all of a sudden you're right in with NLA, and you can send an email. I can get a message from the NLA.
Well, we do. You can join us through apps, you know, on through the program that we're using. But, yeah, I'm not. Gerard, you got a smartphone. You familiar with this?
Yeah, but I'm still not a big app guy. I don't know.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want an app phone. I didn't want a smartphone. I didn't want to be forced into it. That's why it's taken me 15 years to apply a monthly donation to NLA. Okay? Because I've been oppressed. I don't have resources. And so many people are victims. They force you into such of a place, and you're innocent.
Yeah, they're evil.
They're evil. The worst of it is that if you went and you looked up NLA, it's considered a threat, an extremist group of sovereign citizens. That's what NLA is being portrayed as. I don't believe that it is. But that's why we have to get stronger. We have to do the right thing and get educated. And
well, who has us listed as that? Is the Southern Poverty Law
Southern
Center?
Southern Poverty does, yeah.
We gotta sue their. We gotta sue the butts off of them because
they
got
just
no
don't
right
have the time,
it.
You know.
I know it's ridiculous, and actually it might not be a bad thing. That might actually be good for us, believe it or not, in a certain sense. You know that.
If I can find the time to do it, I'll write a paper up on it.
They tell me, oh, you know this and that and the list, and I tell people, I said, look at if you're not on that list, you're not a friend of mine. You know what I mean? I turn everything around on them and use it against them. You know? Yeah, are you part of that group? Yeah, I'm part of that group that believes in the Tree of Liberty and blood watering it. Yeah, what's it to you? Is that too radical for you?
When a person is forced into a, you have to make a, if you're in the court system on bogus charges, whatever, they force you to plea bargain. You are forced to plea bargain, and then you say, hey, I need a lawyer, but you can't afford a lawyer. You are forced into the public
defender.
So you have to get a public defender.
Yep.
And then they call you a sovereign citizen because you want to, you'd like to be able to get an attorney. You like real.
You know, I'm going to tell you, you know what the answer to what you just said is, and more people should probably do this, and they don't.
What is that?
Is refuse to plea and go on a hunger strike because they don't want you to die in their freaking jail. Just stop
what
eating.
They're doing to people, listen to what they're doing to people. They are forcing medication on people. They are saying that they are going to restore them to competence.
They'll put you in a mental hospital, yes. Yeah.
It's a humanity crime. This is going on. The doctors are controlling our country. Organized crime. Right in hospitals. You think I would want to walk into a hospital right now for any reason? Absolutely not. Absolutely.
No, I agree.
For 15
I agree.
Years, I absolutely would not want to be going to a hospital for any reason. I'll go to a doctor. I'll go to, you know, a walk-in clinic. But you can forget me ever walking into these what the criminals are in the health system right now, which is the Affordable Care Act. It is paying out people. It's all under acute care. You can't get care to get help for what your real problems are. They give you acute care. They want you in. They want you out. They want to designate one problem. Whether you could have cancer, and that'll never be in your records because they want to get a payout then and there. There is so much activity.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I really believe that the only place that they have any expertise is acute care. If truly, I mean, they could sew your arm back on with microsurgery if they want to. But when it comes to chronic care, like cancer and this and that, they're barbaric. It's like a caveman day. This slashing and burning of cancer, it's so wrong. And all they do is make money, and they kill you quicker. And every
yes,
doctor get every doctor gets a slice out of you. You know what I mean? They get $6,000-$8,000 per per chemotherapy treatment, and it's ridiculous. You know,
well,
and I know for a fact that you can heal people naturally way quicker, way easier, and way less trouble than what they're doing.
Well, so, I would rather work for the rest of my life than get the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, well.
It is such a terrible thing that the payout that you don't even get in the state of Connecticut, you don't get an explanation of benefits for the Affordable Care Act. In other words, they're going to get paid. You don't know what they got paid for, and you're never going to know. There should be an exclamation of benefits just like the Medicare has.
They're going to double bill and do it, all the nastiness they're doing. That's why you're not getting an explanation.
And that's why they
because
want.
They're,
that's why the
they're committing
want.
Crime, that's all.
That's
anyway.
Why the Democrats want it.
Yep. So it is disgusting, but it's not going to live long, I don't think. I think we're on the end of this deal, I hope.
Well, I'm still on the Trump train, and I believe he's been, the second coup attempt on him.
Yeah.
And it looks like they could possibly get away with it. Because look, they've been too silent. They've been too silent for weeks before, during, and hereafter. They're just moving forward like they do whenever they're committing misconduct. They just make like they're oblivious to the truth.
Right.
But I'm glad to be a new member that is donating monthly to the National Liberty Alliance, and I thank the two of you especially because every single week, for 15 years about that I've been listening, I get to hear two people dedicated to the cause.
Well, we appreciate that. And with that, we're over time, and we appreciate, and I feel bad we're leaving so many people into the in the queue, but we've had a good show, and we'll get everybody next week. Make sure you get back in, and we'll do our best.
But, okay, happy Veterans Day to everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much. God bless everybody. Come back next week, same time, and let's do it again. And bring your ideas and your, you know, together we brainstorm. That's what we're here for. Okay, thank you, everybody.
God bless America.
Yeah, amen.